Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Hey, February 25th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Apologize for the technical issues in the beginning. We're having some seemingly connectivity issues, but it seems we're coming through clear here today. So thank you for joining me. It's going to be a long, jam-packed show. The problem right now that I'm wanting to delay on here is that we are unable to add the link, it would appear, to the article that just went out today. It's just, there's just no end to the things that seem to happen on the last American Vagabond, the Daily Wrap-Up. But, you know, I'll add it afterward, as we'll find a way to do no matter what. But right now, please take a moment to share the link to this show, because all the rest of the links I normally post are currently not out there for whatever issues going on with the loading of my website. I don't really know why. But somebody make sure you share the chat, the link in the chat, make sure people can share it, and we'll make sure that this gets out and we can continue to talk about everything else today. And there's quite a bit we're going to get into. It's going to be quite a long show, so make sure you stay tuned till the end. We're going to start off on something that just happened. We're just seeing now that Joe Biden's administration has bombed Syria, continuing the same old thing with a different narrative, just like every other president before. Airstrikes on what they're saying are Iran-backed militias, which are just Syrian military and Syrian. And well, let's just be clear, it's anybody in Syria that they don't like. Now, even if it's Iran present as Iran's government, they're allowed to be present in Syria because they were invited there by the sovereign government. None of this matters to the democratically, you know, all the fighting for liberty and freedom and not caring about any of those things as they violate international law and human rights and every other thing they can to achieve their goals. We're going to talk about that to start off just really quickly because I'm going to wait for the story more to develop. We'll probably touch on it more tomorrow with Robert as he will get into it as well as he's checking with sources on the ground. And we're going to talk about some interesting discussions around a leaked story and how that's being compared to WikiLeaks. And I have some opinions on that. And now we're also going to get into some discussions around a lot of this censorship. It's just unbelievable today. Like, I almost wanted to call it something else because it's so blatant. Patreon, as you might have seen, has deleted the last American Vagabond. You might have seen it coming. We told you it was going to happen. The point of what I've been doing on Twitter and elsewhere was to show people what they really are. I knew this was going to happen. Now, the point is more important than anything else is that they're now trying to take your money that you donated to me, which is typical. But we're also going to get into vaccines, vaccine passports, but a very important mask study that was, it's Dan Rancourt, PhD, and then compiling a lot of other fantastic information that confirms everything we've been telling you. From other PhDs and other medical doctors and other experts conducting this research and saying this is not, I think, possibly, but no brainer. This is what we all know. This is the science we've seen. It's only changed around COVID, and it's important for you to understand that. And vaccine passports, as I mentioned, is a really important one that is being driven home. And I'm going to make sure you remember that Derek Bros told you this was going to happen, wrote about this months ago, and of course was ridiculed for it. Conspiracy theory. And he's been vindicated, literally vindicated with what we're going to show you in this show, more than just that they're coming, but in fact that this is exactly what he said they would be, in what regard and what airlines and how it's happening. It's really interesting stuff, but they never want you to recognize, one, that people like us are pointing this stuff out long before the media, the mainstream is able to talk about it, or two, that it is even actually happening, which is absolutely ridiculous when you think about the fact that they're still pretending like this isn't real. They're acting like this is not happening. Sorry about that. I had to bring up this video as I was actually doing all this behind the scenes while I was talking to you. Maybe some of you picked up on that, but I had to add this link. So let me get this in here and we can begin with the Syria discussion. Now the link is on the main page. So please take the time, in addition to the link, to share the actual article page in The Last American Vagabond, which is what I prefer you do anyway, because I don't want you sharing this YouTube link at all, to be quite honest. Now that it's posted, we can get ready. We actually posted on here as well. Thank you all, as always, for being here, taking the time to think for yourselves, just being able to challenge the narrative. I mean, that's something that we all need to pat ourselves on the back for, not just challenging it, but thinking against, I mean, what they're telling you, right? I mean, that's what's so important, is thinking outside the box. That's what this is all really about. So starting off with Syria in general, a very important discussion to be had today. If I have it on the other tab, as I was trying to look around what I was going to. Okay, so just in, U.S. has carried out airstrikes against Iran-backed militia in Syria in an operation approved by Joe Biden. Now, this is what Robert has covered this quite a bit. I have myself as well. There is no actual data to back up what they're saying in regard to Iran-backed militias. Just so we're clear, the very groups that they continually call that, PMU, the different groups in regard to that, Iraq military, Syria, anything they want, is almost always not what they're making it out to be. But just so we're clear, even if this, as I said, was literally Iran's government present in this country, they still would not have the justification to do this. They are illegally present in that country right now. And same with Iraq. And all they can do is cry foul about what other people are doing in Syria while they're allowed to be in Syria. It's just outstanding. But it also recognized that the group that has been conducting most of the heinous acts in this country has been the U.S. government and its proxies. And that's as well as Turkey and its proxies and everybody, Israel and its proxies. That's what's actually happening. So it's just, it's really, I mean, wrong in every sense of the word. But it's just, you know, it's just, it's disgusting. It makes me, makes my skin crawl to watch these governments come out and talk about fighting for individuals and human rights and freedom, and then just do the exact opposite like every other president before them. And this is while in Syria, they're robbing their oil and burning their wheat fields. That's not just Trump. That's still happening under a Biden's administration. And as Sarah points out as well, just so you're just confirming with multiple sources, I have seen this, it has actually happened. But this also is important to recognize in the context of what just happened in Iraq, because that's what this is really about. This is all about Iran and framing all of this about Iran being the one acting out, when it seems as if the only person or groups acting out are the ones blaming Iran. They continue to say Iran-backed militias, but even then, they can't even prove that those are in fact the militias that are conducting the attacks, whether or not they're Iran-backed militias. Think about how absurdly ridiculous that is and abstract. There's nothing to back this up. They keep saying it was these PMU militias that fired that, and we can't prove that they are Iran-backed militias, but even then, you can't prove it's them. And I, by the way, I think it's pretty absurd to claim it's them in the first place, because one, they wouldn't use these Soviet-era archaic Katyusha rockets that they know we blamed on Iran. They use the materials that they have access to, which, guess what, are U.S. weapons, because the U.S. arms the Iraqi government, which then arms the PMU. So let's pretend like they're going to use the one thing that can expose what they're doing and then run away and leave the evidence with a truck and with every time, because that is the narrative. Every time there's a truck with rockets left. So that's how we knew it was Katyusha rockets. And it turns like it's just ridiculous. Ask yourself why they didn't get in the truck and drive away. Let's not ask those questions. Rockets hit Baghdad base with U.S. contractor present. We just mentioned this, talked about this recently. None of this has really gotten a lot of attention outside of just saying Iran, bad guy. This is at least four rockets hit the base north of Baghdad over the weekend. The assumption is that it was an ISIS attack. And this is what none of the U.S. government ever wants to point out. The fact that ISIS has access to Katyusha rockets. And of course, we know that the U.S. government has continued to arm and fund and defend and move these ISIS militants, as Ben Swan has covered years ago. They were created, armed, and funded by the U.S. government. This is not, I don't know why this is a contentious topic today. We've seen the moderate rebel scandal. We've seen how this all worked from the beginning of the Mujahideen, or specifically in what they created in Afghanistan, which turned into Al-Qaeda, which became ISIS. It's a joke that we pretend like they're not involved. So then we see these rockets flying, which we know ISIS has, and they go, Iran did it. Not even a mention of the possibility. And by the way, without evidence. This is how dumb they think we are. As always, prove them wrong, because I know that they're wrong. U.S. says patience with Iran, not unlimited. So now we've jumped from we're accusing Iran to now we're saying we're almost out of patience for the thing that we've never even proven you did. That's how it worked with the U.S. government. Despite the reality of the situation, the U.S. continues to blame Iran. Our patience is not unlimited, State Department spokesman Ned Price said on Wednesday when he asked if the U.S.'s willingness to talk with Iran had an expiration date. The only thing that's being held up is the U.S. government waiting to get what they want from Iran. Iran has been willing as long as the U.S. government removes its sanctions, acts like a normal government, to use their term against them, you know, not stomping around the world, murdering people for their own agendas, then maybe the JCPOA will go back to the way it was, to put it simply. But even then, Iran has said that they're not necessarily willing to do that unless the UN or the US is acting in good faith and removing those sanctions, which they'll never do. Because the only reason they left the JCPOA was with the intention to make it look like Iran was the one that broke it. That's why they screamed that for the last so many years. Because that was their goal and it didn't work because the rest of them stayed. And now the US was trying to dictate it still, even though they said it was defunct and didn't work and they left. It's just, this is juvenile. In every sense of the word, Israeli military is now preparing to take action against Iran. See how far this has already gone? This is on the 24th, but it's yesterday. On Wednesday, Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz said the Israeli Defense Forces are preparing to take action against Iran's nuclear program. You know, their civilian nuclear program that the IAEA has continued to confirm, despite the fact that they're breaching the agreement within the agreement because the U.S. violated the agreement, which is under Article 26 and 36 of the JCPOA. None of this is talked about on the mainstream media because they want to frame it Iran bad guy style, because that's what they do, because they're not really journalists. Now, I also want to point out that this is something that Robert has pointed out quite a bit. As we're hearing all this discussion about immigration, which, by the way, you should know, Biden has right out of the gate showing you that he's just like everybody else and saying, we're not going to do this, you know, what was the term they used? We're not going to put kids in immigration facilities. And then went ahead and did exactly that and is making facilities and doing everything like they've done before. With new narrative, of course, with all the people that still support him anyway, screaming, the narrative's different. Can't you tell it's not Trump? But it's all the same. While ignoring the fact that Biden's policies in Syria, which, by the way, we're seeing today, continue to put kids in cages because they're continuing to arm and fund and support groups like Haitir al-Sham, which is what you're seeing there. But Vanessa Bailey's reported many times that they pretend is fake news, but it's been verified and vindicated 10 times over, as well as the fact that they're arming them. You know, that group, that picture smiling in the back of a truck with a kid's head they cut off. That's been proven to be that was true. And that was the group they were funding. There's pictures of those people standing next to people like John McCain. Those are the policies that Biden is continuing now. And by the way, Trump continued too. Two-party illusion, guys. Time to wake up. We only care about certain kids in cages, I guess. But to finish it off, as Robert tweeted just a moment ago, Biden authorizes strikes on Iranian-backed groups in Syria. So much for diplomacy. The media is claiming this is revenge for the Israel rocket attack. Exactly my point. On the U.S. forces, which, by the way, they never proved were anybody other than what they said they were. What they failed to mention is that the group who claimed it has no backing from Iran, which Robert pointed out in a show we recently had. Now, that doesn't mean that is the group just because they claimed it. But what it means, though, is that to be able to attack, I mean, realize how normal that's become, but to openly bomb a foreign country, a sovereign country, and potentially kill innocent people, at the very least conducting a kinetic military action. Don't you think you should prove what you're claiming? Not today. Not when you're the good guy, which seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? But in any case, they just want to go after Iran. And by the way, in the process, Iraq and Syria and everybody else they can get, but that's the end goal. So it's all feeding the same agenda. These are the government people that are lying to you about COVID-19 and everything else, by the way. Important to recognize that. They care so much about the sanctity of life, except when it happens anywhere other than their narrative in this moment, which is everywhere. It's just absurd. It really is insulting to your intelligence. But to get into this more so, we have a couple of good articles that I wanted to make sure we shouted out before we got into the next part of the show today. And this is one from Robert as well. Myanmar in the headlines, but the genocide there is not. Well-written article, very objective. And in fact, by the way, has a couple of different opinions and perspectives than I do myself, which is an important point for you guys to recognize. Just like probably 90% of the media, including independent, they tend to have their narrative. Even it doesn't mean it's wrong or fake, but they have a line in which, you know, the point is on The Last American Vagabond, it's not about what I think as the editor, it's about what the writers think. Now, sure, I'm going to discuss these things with them if I strongly disagree, but at the end of the day, it's about their opinion, and as long as it's factually based, that's the point. It goes out. It's published. I just want you guys to recognize that doesn't happen very often. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. That should be normal. That's like saying we're kind to people and then getting rewarded for it. It's like, isn't that something we should all be doing? It's just basic. So just recognize that. And it's a very well-written article, and it's about the fact that the genocide there is not important. What matters is the geopolitical situation and how China's doing this, not the fact that those people continue to suffer. Yes, they use that as the pretext for what they're doing, but that doesn't seem to be the focus of what's happening right now. And it should be, because that's what they're using to justify why they're there. As well as a great article from Derek, Google's Eric Schmidt and the Artificial Intelligence Military Industrial Complex, an excellent read that is very important to what's going on right now. And the fact, and Whitney's written about this a lot, the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence and what they're trying to accomplish, and the fact that this is happening now in your military, despite the fact that there is people all over the world very concerned and speaking out about this right now. Hopefully you'll take the time to read this. Maybe we'll dive into it a little more in some of the sideshows, possibly on the weekend, but let's bring this into the first point today. This is an interesting development that I'm seeing. Now, this is a tweet by Aaron Matei. Reuters, BBC, and Bellingcat participated in covert UK Foreign Office-funded programs to weaken Russia, leaked docs reveal. Now, the first thing I want to point out is this notice here, which is just really crazy. We've seen the censorship escalating. We're going to get into Patreon next. But the fact that they can post this, it says these materials may have been obtained through hacking. First of all, may have been? What does that even mean? What this is Twitter trying to frame the way you perceive these things with an opinion of their own. Now, sure, you could say they might be, but unless they are posting something like that, is Twitter influencing your perception? And that is it, which shouldn't be shocking at all. I just wanted to point that out. It's happening everywhere, and I find that incredible. Now, Aaron Matei, I have immense respect for. But this story in general is very interesting in regard to the gray zone in particular. Reuters, BBC, and Bellingcat participated in covert UK Foreign Office-funded programs to weaken Russia, leaked docs reveal. Now, the way this story is being framed that's very interesting to me, because we have to understand a couple of quick points. One is that Moon of Alabama posted this exact content 5 days ago, or 5 days before the Gray Zone posted it. And nowhere in this discussion is the Moon of Alabama pointed out, or anybody for that matter, other than the document. And I find that to be interesting, especially since the whole discussion is not really about the content anymore, but about the fact that they're now being censored, which in the age of censorship is really not that outstanding, in the sense that it's something in regard to what we're staring at now, which is notices on tweets. Nothing is like it's being compared to WikiLeaks. And I just take issue with that, because one, we have to understand a couple things in regard to how this is being framed, because they weren't the first to publish the documents. They didn't obtain the documents. They didn't work with the whistleblower. All they really did was report on what it said. And that's fine. That's commendable. Do it. Talk about it. That stuff needs to get out there. But the idea that it's now they're being persecuted for posting content. Isn't that what's happening to me right now? Isn't that what's happening to almost everybody honest in the independent media? So I just think it's interesting that this is somehow now happening. Like, they're talking about being delisted from Google News. Well, that's happened to damn near everybody in the independent media. So why is this now a story? Why are they the story? Isn't the story something else? I just want us to be careful about how these things are happening because it's interesting to me. Now, here's the actual document in general that they're pointing to in the Gray Zone report from February 20th. And here is the February 15th document or article from Moon of Alabama, also pointing back to the first one they covered on this discussion back in 2018. So clearly on this story, long before Gray Zone, at least. And as well as point to the full archive, not just that one document, which, by the way, is much more extensive. This is discussing Syria, which I find interesting today, which I haven't gone through this all yet. I hadn't have time today, but I will. This one's in regard to Lebanon. So I just find it interesting. There's a lot more happening here in the way that this is suddenly about them being persecuted. And I just don't think that's a fair representation of what this full story is. Now, here's what Moon of Alabama had to say on the 24th. Censorship gone bonkers. Be a good citizen. Yesterday, the censorship department at Twitter went bonkers. Twitter safety blog disclosing networks of state-linked information. We've seen this happen a lot, where they're saying they removed 69 fake accounts that will be reliably tied to Russia, which basically means that they're at the end of the day, they tweeted something that aligns with Russian, what they say is Russian propaganda, you know, which, and that's it. And as he's making the joke, be a good citizen. Don't amplify narratives that align with the government. Don't undermine NATO. You know, just that's what they're trying to do. They're controlling the perception and dictating. It's just like what I'm going to get into with Patreon. They are trying to dictate now what is and is not allowable thought. You can't express these things anymore. This is literally the opposite of what they used to say they were trying to accomplish. But it's only because they've deemed some thoughts dangerous. And who gets to decide that? Well, of course, the society keepers, the government controllers. But he goes on to say also this and points out Aaron's tweet. And he says, Twitter adds a warning. He says, is this warning applied equally? He says, I doubt it. And it's not. He says, unfortunately, even tweets with links to the Moon of Alabama piece on the hacked British documents do not get such marks. Okay, so that's interesting, right? Because Moon of Alabama has tweeted about this, released it seemingly 5 days before on the Gray Zone. So why aren't they getting those marks? Interesting. It says, that's too bad because Twitter's hacked material insert created a Streisand effect and the marked Gray Zone story went viral. Well, what do you know, right? It's oddly focused on one spot and ended up going viral. It says, I have, by the way, no idea if the British material was hacked or if it comes from the whistleblower. Neither is that important. And I do agree with this. He says the material is genuine and it is full of information which the British authorities want to hide, but which the global public deserves to know. That is the only thing that is important for publishing it. Exactly. Just like, and this is in regard to WikiLeaks, the same point that it's, they keep claiming, well, those where they came from Russia, which, by the way, is not true. So that suddenly makes the truth about our government committing crimes no longer allowable. Well, that's kind of what they're trying to argue here, but that's obviously not true. But in this case, that's what they're doing now. Well, they're hacked. Okay. Does it show that they're doing something illegal? Okay. Then it shouldn't really matter in the context of reporting on it. Sure. You want to try to go after the hacker? Not that I would agree with that, but that's what they're saying. Yeah, fine. We're going to report on it though. But the way that it played out, I find disingenuous to it to a large degree. And I also want to point out the idea that there's a lot going on right now that a lot of us are reporting on. I mean, in my opinion, and I'm just not just talking about COVID, some of the most important things happening in our society today that's not being touched at all by plenty of other outlets. So when we see this kind of we're being censored, we're like WikiLeaks, and it's sort of only notices in certain ways where we have people where their entire platforms have been taken down. There needs to be but we just need to stand back a little bit and look at the larger picture. That's what I find to be important right here. So this will all be in there for you to look at for yourself. And as this goes forward, I think the story needs to be, I mean, look, even the story about this new leaked documents, can I ask a real question here? Why this story is even relevant anymore? I get it. They did. Is the issue? Does anybody out there think that the governments are not capable or willing to manipulate what you think and see and do in order to achieve a goal? So it's like when this was the first breaking thing, we found out that's important. But this ongoing reiteration of this Russiagate narrative and everything else is only pulling away, in my opinion, from much larger things. Sure, maybe I'm wrong. That's my opinion. But at the end of the day, that I'm somebody saying balanced perspective. Thank you. I wish I would have seen that before. That's probably what I was looking for. But in any case, we need to focus on the larger picture here and not get bogged down in who is what and what. That's what they want, right? And I question why the Moon of Alabama story didn't go anywhere and why that wasn't tagged with censorship or notices that we're calling censorship. In any case, question everything, right? So bringing this over to some real censorship, what censorship actually looks like. The Cowardly Patreon told me, this was on February 18th, that the last American Vagabond, that cat's out of the bag, I'm sure, will not be able to use their failing and soon to be obsolete platform unless I delete all medical misinformation on COVID. Now, make sure we recognize that in this, a big shout out, by the way, to New World Next Week and James N. James for talking about this. The support is very appreciated. What's interesting though, is they did supply a link, remember, but what it says here is kindly review and remove any and all content that advances this COVID medical information, right? It says an example is below. So they're expecting me, just like with YouTube, to just assume that I know what they deem medical misinformation, even though all of it's sourced to the right people, according to them, right? Just because I have a different opinion on that material, it's no longer allowable, right? Understand that point. They're not saying you can't talk about medical stuff. They're saying you can talk about medical stuff, but you can only have this opinion. I don't know why we can't see what that is. It's like saying in foreign policy with government. Yeah, you can talk about foreign policy. You just aren't allowed to say what they're doing is wrong. Okay. Would anybody be okay with that? So why does it apply to health news? Because there's an agenda happening here, and it's the agenda, in my opinion. Now, it's what's interesting is that they want me to delete it for them, right? So ask yourself, if I am in fact violating a policy, why would they make me do it? Are they not obligated to remove it if it's violating policy? Clearly not, because as it goes forward, you'll see that they still haven't even done it. They still have me giving me the option to go in and delete all this stuff, and then they'll give it back to me. So I'm jumping ahead of here. Let's go through and I'll show you what happened since then. Here is on. Now, I apologize for those that don't care about this. This is important both for a public record and for everyone to know what's happening, to know that Patreon, you shouldn't be there anymore in regard to my content. I want to stress, I do not want everybody to flee away from people they're supporting just because they've censored me. There are people that are going to stay. Look, I stayed on Patreon after somebody else was censored before. It's because of my mindset of using these platforms until the wheels fall off, just like I'm showing you now. And that's why I do this, to make a point. To make them do it, that's why they want me to delete my content, because they don't want to be the one to do it and then get called out for it. So when they delete my platform, like they just did in regard to Patreon, it puts the onus on them. So that's what I'm trying to show people, is I'll continue to post there right up until they kick me off. But I'm asking all of you to go somewhere else in regard to my content, which they took that choice away from you. But others, though, make sure you reach out to them if you are going to leave and say, hey, I want to still support you. Where else can I do so? But it says, as I followed up, and this is on February 24th, they sent me another letter saying, hey, were you able to read my last email? And oh, you know what I should do, actually, since I am going to take the time to go over this since I have this. I want to show you what I actually said in response. Oh, this was this one. Okay. Well, so I responded exactly basically what I said right here, telling them that that's not going to happen in the first one. Okay. So they want me to delete my own content, which is extortion. And it won't work on me, as I said. How can you dictate paywalled content? Now understand, my content is free. You can find it all over the place. But I put it behind a paywall on Patreon so that people can support me if they want to. You can go find it on my website for free. I think most of them know that, as seeing as how it's posted everywhere. The point is, you just want to support. But if it's behind a paywall, how are they allowed to dictate what I can say? Think about that for a second. Right. This is next level authoritarian censorship. This is going well above and beyond saying, well, you're spreading misinformation and putting people in danger. But wait a minute. They're paying to see this. It's not going out publicly everywhere. You have to pay. So if somebody wants to pay to see fake things, just to put it in their framing, is that somehow illegal? Does that violate WHO standards? I mean, first of all, recognize my information is not fake and it's sourced right to the people they say it should be. But they're saying that it's behind a paywall, and that's still not okay. I just don't understand how this is being allowed. You know, I do actually. It's because the people that are supposed to be protecting us and fighting back against stuff like this are on their side and they don't care about you. How it says, I told him just, you know, do what you're going to do. Show us all that your users are less important to you than your political connections. And he responded saying, well, did you read my last email? After I responded saying, this is not going to happen. You're not going to make me do this. He wanted to follow up just to make sure. All kindly and everything, but recognize the last part. I kindly ask you to review the page again and get back to me within 24 hours. Otherwise, I might have to apply a temporary suspension for you to make the necessary changes in private. Oh, you mean the changes that I still don't know, I don't have direction on. I don't know what I'm supposed to delete. But I'm just, so they hope that I go over the top and delete anything COVID. That's what they hope they're driving me to do. Here's what I responded. I said, I don't understand where the disconnect is. Were you able to read my last email? What gave you the impression that I would in any way censor my own content? If you are going to censor me, thereby confirming to all of us that this platform is pandering to the oligarchy, selling out, that is on you and a choice you have to live with, seeing as how I am in no way breaking any law, nor am I even violating any of your policies, as my lawyers have expressly confirmed that you feel you have the right to step in and dictate what is and is not medical misinformation. Even as I cite the very institutions we're told we must listen to when making my points, is simply ridiculous. And if YouTube is any indication, guaranteed to lead to countless justified lawsuits, which I hope you will all begin to do if you feel justified. On top of that, as an internationally recognized news broadcast, I have every right to discuss, consider, and even outright challenge what is being stated by our government. That is a right. That does not somehow magically change because it is a health news story. We are talking constitutional rights here, and I will tell you point blank, if there was ever a person who would sacrifice all for what is right and to defend those rights, it's me. And I will not let this go if you do indeed choose to violate your own agreement with me simply because the government told you to. What you are doing is destroying businesses, which you allowed people to build under a false sense of trust and security, and that is catastrophically dishonest. This action you are taking is quickly defining itself as a crime in the digital age. And by the way, it is, and it will be as soon as this catches up, the laws catch up with the digital age, which I guarantee they're making sure they don't. It is a crime. You apply this in any context in outside of the digital sphere, and what they're doing is a crime. And this is, I went on to say, and this is all a choice on your part as a platform to bow to political pressure and in doing so, sell out your own users. What you're doing is thought policing. At one point, many thought you were the solution, yet it appears you were merely a stepping stone for the problem. Prove me wrong. I knew they wouldn't, but you got to hope. And to be quite honest, well, it doesn't matter. But so here's how the next part came. He says, well, since we can't have violative content live on our platform, I don't get the live part. I mean, this is probably a robot that we're probably an AI algorithm we're talking to. I am going to apply a suspension to your page. So now because I didn't delete my own content. Like, look, if they just deleted it, the problem would be over, right? But it's not about deleting the content. It's about hindering me and our efforts and stopping the growth of this channel and our efforts to talk about content or talk about stories. That's what they want. Otherwise, they would just delete it and say, well, you deleted that. It's wrong. And we're going to give you a strike or whatever. But nope, they put it on me and they forced this to be a standoff. Oh, and it goes on to say, if you'd like to reach out, right? We're happy to start over and let you delete things. Like they want me to come to them going, please, no. They're hoping that it all hinges on the financial support, which, by the way, was very important. Of course it was. You'll see in this one right here. I talk about it right below. $2,000 in that right now that is supposed to be coming to the Last American Vagabond in 5 days. You're going to find out they told me they're not going to give it to me, which means they're taking your money from you. But I said, and it's gone. Patreon did what we expected them to do and sold out and long before censoring me. So it's not just, the story is not me, guys. The story is Patreon is showing you what they really are. Today, Patreon support has officially suspended my account until I delete my own content. Cowards. Can't do your own dirty work? I said, shocker. Why did any of us expect that you would actually side with your users? Good riddance. And thank you for showing us what you really are. Sort of a bad business model to sell out your own users, don't you think? And you can bet this will come back to bite you. And this and this was paywalled content. So you're stepping between paid subscribers and private content, dictating content behind a paywall, which is next level authoritarian censorship. And clearly you don't care, which is why this platform is dead. Also, there will be a legal battle coming your way, but that likely does not matter to a sellout company seemingly undermining its own business model to side with the government, a move that, historically speaking, never works out too well for the sellouts. And can I assume you will also be stealing the $2,000 in funds currently in the account from the last month? You know, the funds that all my subscribers openly gave under the assumption that you would honor your contract with me and actually give it to me? I guess my question is, are you planning on stealing that from the 400 Patreons who donated the $2,000? Or will you give that to me, the person they donated it to? I guess we'll find out soon. Hashtag boycott Patreon. Now, who knows? Maybe they will hear this and decide to refund it. Ultimately, I've already heard from past situations like this. That's not the way this goes. Google AdSense has stolen money from me and plenty of other people in the past. They remove you and then they just keep what they have on hold, which is quite a lot, in fact. This is a long time ago. The point is this continues to happen and people are continuing to see that there is no rules or regulations or laws or guidelines for these people, only for the ones they make up for you. So if you out there are a Patreon for The Last American Vagabond, I recommend that you boycott the entire platform and speak out and touch base with people that you want to keep supporting so you can keep doing so. But you need to reach out to Patreon themselves and tell them that you will not stand for what's happening, as well as the fact that they are not, look, even refunding the money, you realize that there's already been charges incurred on your card for doing so. So no matter what, they're not going to give you back everything that was taken. You should demand that it goes to The Last American Vagabond, because that's what was the agreed upon contract. Even if they cancel you now up to the 25th or the 24th, they're obligated to give you that money. The point is they don't care about these rules. They're doing whatever they want because they've made it clear that they can. And I just said, here's the answer. Patreon will steal from their other patrons to punish me in hopes that I do the dirty work. If my content violates policy, why is it so important for me to be the one to delete it? If it's in violation, are you not obligated to? And here's the point. It says your page is suspended. If your account is suspended by the first, you will not receive the payments from your patrons. This is what's happening, guys. Right there on the top of the page. And if you go to look at any of these posts, by the way, here's what you're going to see now. The page is under review. Don't you love how they say that? Under review? So it'll be indefinitely under review. That's exactly what they're all doing now. They're not at, like, Twitter. Right now, if you look at my old handle on Twitter, it just still says suspended. So I'm suspended indefinitely. You know why they do that? Because there's a legal gray area. They can say that they were still reviewing your account. That's why that says that there. So then if they wanted to, they can just put it back and be like, oh, we were our bad. They know where this is going, and they're just holding it off as long as possible. And it's all on us. If we push, we can change this. They know that, which is exactly why they're playing the middle game. Because they're cowards, guys. And I think what we need to recognize is that these are all broken. We don't need to rely on these platforms anymore. Things are changing. And they know that, and that's why they're so desperate to drive in this massive overhaul of everything we know of our lives. Because the world that was developing is something that loses their control. And they know that, and it scares the hell out of them. Here's one example of something I got today, and I've seen an overwhelming shower of support. I just can't even tell you how empowering and inspiring it is that all I can't have unbelievable amount of emails today. Everybody, donations to PayPal and what, and people asking, what can I do? And that, just so you know, that's the whole point of this is not to, at the end of the day, if you choose to support The Last American Vagabond because you believe in our work, that's all I ask. Most important of anything else is sharing the content. I would rather you share the content every day than give me a dollar every day. But as you know, this platform can't exist without funding from the people, because that's the only thing that keeps it going. But I have seen a support from so many people. Slow News Day is saying he's going to boycott Patreon because of it. Whitney Webb said she's going to boycott Patreon. I'm seeing all kinds of people reaching out and saying the same thing. It's just nice to recognize that people are seeing the problem. And this person says, "Dear Ryan, I've ended my use of Patreon with immediate effect. Just last week, they deleted another independent journalist here in Germany. I didn't know about that without warning. That was the first red flag for me, and I was considering boycotting their platform. Your ordeal drove the point home, and as of today, I'm done with them. However, regarding another way to support your work, I'm looking forward to that update from your side. I've also heard Flatter, which I'm just looking into today. I don't know much about it, though I know nothing about it, he says. Maybe it's an option you can investigate. By the way, I let Patreon know the reason I ended my membership is because they are sellouts. I hope alternatives will be available soon so I can continue to support your work. It means a lot to me. But I want to make it clear, guys, that right now, there are a bunch of ways that you can support my work. Here are some of them that I'll include that are under every video, by the way. You can directly donate P.O. Box. You can buy shirts, clothing with truthclothing.io. Any T-Lab content or stuff you buy there directly supports this channel. Anything else outside of the T-Lab part, if you just simply enter Vagabond, it'll still help us in some degree. PayPal, Subscribestar, crypto donations of all sorts. But the real point that I wanted to stress today is something that I keep telling you guys, and it's important, which is that there is something new coming. And I'm just going to keep it like that until we actually have something to show for obvious reasons. We've seen so many things happen that just kind of fall on their faces. But I'm involved with a very, very talented team right now. I mean, I'm just doing things in the back end that just blow my mind. At very talented people. And this is coming very, very soon. And this is in regard to a streaming platform as well as something that will make Patreon obsolete. I mean, if you think about what is Patreon is simply something you can sign up and here's so many dollars and make it happen every month. I mean, you can do that on PayPal right now. You could do that on Rockfin, I think. I think so. There's plenty of platforms that you can do that on. So what is really important about Patreon is that it was really one of the first to do so. So now that they're censoring people based on what they say, let's recognize that we should go somewhere else. And what this new thing we're working on has the ability to do everything we're talking about with a streaming platform at the same time. So it's coming, and recognize that they know that, which is probably one of the reasons why they're so desperate to remove people like us. Now, last couple points on this end. Whitney said something that was very relevant that I wanted to point out as well. She says, while Ryan will always choose content quality over finances, a lot of people put in this position by Patreon will not. If you look through the emails sent to Ryan by Patreon, they don't even give him the opportunity to argue why his content is not misinformation, only an option to censor. I didn't recognize that. That's a really good point. That's what I said. It's a great point, and I didn't even pick up on it. We're so conditioned today to this authoritarian state of censorship and YouTube's manipulative way of pretending to give you a process that I didn't even realize there was no way to contest what Patreon said. Just compliance, delete or go away. Like, can you believe that? They don't even tell me exactly how I violated it. There's not even the pretend process of YouTube. Patreon seems to be worse than all of them. That really blew my mind. So isn't there some kind of obligation for them to give me a process to say, wait a minute, I disagree with that? Apparently not. Now, here's an interesting discussion. This is something from the National File. Patreon loses lawsuit with Owen Benjamin fans, likely to pay millions in arbitration to legal fees. Now, I'm not actually all that familiar with Benjamin Owen. I'm not a huge fan of his work that I have seen, but that's irrelevant to this discussion. The point here is that this has already happened. And the way that this went down with Patreon will be eye-opening for you if you haven't seen this, as well as give you some insight on what you may want to do. Now, again, I want to say for those that don't like censorship talks, I know this is taking up a lot of the show, so I apologize for that, but this is important to get out and is relevant for the future of what this is all about. There's plenty more to come, so still please stay tuned. And this will probably be one of the shows we clip up for as the future. But it says Patreon has lost, and this is July 30th, 2020. Patreon lost a lawsuit they filed against the fans of Owen Benjamin. Not him, but the fans. Patreon filed lawsuits individually against all of the fans of Owen Benjamin who were trying to sue them for deleting him unjustly. Can you believe that? They went after the individuals. This is an authoritarian website, guys, and we need to drop Patreon. It says, last year, Owen Benjamin was kicked off of Patreon for violating the terms of hate speech, which, again, you know my opinions on that. Benjamin then encouraged his fans to sue the site, given that they had participated in legal terms, which called tortious interference with a business relationship. Now, that's an interesting thing. I've only ever heard tortious interference once before, and it's an interesting discussion because it's not very common. But it says Patreon's terms included language that allowed any user of the platform to litigate their case individually under California's JAMS arbitration scheme. Now, arbitration, by the way, there's an arbitration clause in damn near every contract you sign, and it is a scam. It's a scheme. It's a way to get you to use their team, which will err in the favor on the side of them, right? That you, if you have a dispute with most companies these days, it turns out in your contract, there's an arbitration clause. You don't get to hire. You don't get to do things your way. They have their group that decides what happens. It's a scam, and it's a way that they get what they want, like always. And of course, are you going to not sign the contract when you're about to get what you want? No, people don't do that. It's just like the terms of service for anything. Do you actually read them? No. Are you going to turn down this platform? Most likely not. So you check them anyway. And now this is interesting because individuals took advantage of this. Under California law, Patreon would have to pay the arbitration fees up front, as each user would have to be dealt with one-on-one basis. These fees range from a few thousand dollars to over $10,000 per case. Now you can imagine how expensive that could be for Patreon if you've got hundreds of thousands of subscribers all trying to do so. It says it is unclear how many users actually tried to sue the platform, but it says the Patreon, get this, in the middle of this process, because this is what honest people do, change their terms of service in an attempt to stop it from happening after the claims were filed. Think about how dishonest that is. I mean, we know we're seeing what they're doing right now. It says you may not bring a claim against us for suspending or terminating another person's account. You agree that you will not bring such a claim. So get this. This is the same thing they're doing with the policy update. So they change a policy and retroactively make everything I've done illegal. So they change this policy after there's already suits in process and go, but look, we told them they couldn't bring a claim, so they're not allowed to. This is like a six-year-old writing the rules and going, no, but you're not allowed to win the game. It's just crazy. It says, if you try to bring such a claim, you are responsible for the damages. It's like literally written out exactly what they wanted not to happen in reverse. It's just so funny. It's like we're dealing with children. Patreon then sued Benjamin's backers for attempting to receive arbitration. Right. So for attempting to do, God forbid, what they were allowed to do. Horrible people. And filed for a preliminary injunction to stop that from happening. However, earlier in the month, and this is July again in 2020, the judge in the case ruled against them, noting that their changes in the terms of service was tantamount to them changing the rules in the middle of the game. I mean, do you realize how, I mean, they must have either thought that they had that judge in their pocket, or thought that they were going to get swayed by some other political motivation. I mean, because you must know that's going to get seen. But people like this are not used to being called out for their crimes. The formal judgment was revealed on Wednesday when the ruling being solidly based on previous California legal findings, Patreon will now have to go through arbitration with each of the fans and will not be able to recoup any of the fees, even if they win the individual cases. Good. Now, the interesting part, it says this opens up Patreon to further suits from other creators and fans of creators who have been removed from the platform, like Carl Benjamin and Sargon of Akkad. The point, though, is I don't know whether yet now I guarantee they've altered that to high heaven to where this can never happen again. But at the end of the day, recognize how dishonest they are. Recognize how malicious they are to go after people who are simply doing what's allowed in the contract, after changing their rules mid-game to be able to go after them. Wow. I mean, that is crazy dishonest, but it's very obvious that's what they are. And this is where it's all going, guys. It's not just Patreon. Here's what Netanyahu had to say. Turn the curse into a blessing. Netanyahu wants the UN of the internet. We've heard this floated before. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that the cybertech conference in Tel Aviv, that he wants to create a coalition of leading companies, so meaning the ones they want to pick, to turn the internet from a curse into a blessing. How perfect is that? How often have we been talking about the fact that the internet wasn't created to be what it is now? And I mean, it was a DARPA project, right? This is something that was never meant to be a tool by which we fought back, right? So clearly to them, it is a curse, because the internet is why we're able to point out what they're doing, why we're able to call them out, why we're able to have such interconnectivity. So they want to stop that. Of course they do. So they want to turn it into a blessing, which means they have control over it and they can remove people like us that point out their crimes. It says in the wake of a reported breach of defense ministry computers, which is also very revealing and interesting. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talked of the importance of cybersecurity at an Israeli cyber tech conference in the Israeli capital on Monday. In the Palestinian capital, more likely, the biggest challenge we face with the cyber world is protecting the privacy and security of the public. There could be a serious breach. So get it. Understand he's justifying why we need absolute control of the internet, because you're in danger. Isn't that classic? Isn't that always how it goes? So the cyber attacks are hurting my family, or hurting my home, or my infrastructure? No, they're hurting government infrastructure, things that they're secrets and clearly defense ministry computers. But you're in danger, though. Don't forget that, right? Clearly, it's all about using your fear to make things happen. There should be a sort of UN for the internet, he says, a coalition of the leading companies of the cyber world. And in my opinion, Israel's the most advanced. Well, cool, of course, they'll be leading it, of course. Who thought any different? It says Netanyahu's speech came hot on the heels of it becoming public that interesting, this is coming up quite a bit lately, had broken into the Israeli Defense Ministry computer. Guess what, though? Like, before I even read it, right? The way they frame this, defense industry computers were hacked. They even used the word hacked. They were hacked, putting you all at risk. But guess what? It was an email attachment that somebody opened and tainted with malicious software. That is like ridiculous. These are defense people and they're opening emails they don't know on their defense computers. I mean, first of all, I don't even believe that. But even if it was true, that's pathetic. And no, that wasn't some hack. That is mass phishing emails. And that's crazy. Now, I mean, I'm downplaying. I mean, who knows if it ended up being some sophisticated effort, but it was an email that did it. It sounds so silly. Why would they think they'd fall for it? But whatever the case is, it's being used to justify controlling the internet. So to be completely honest, I doubt whether it even happened at all. Which is always, I don't think anybody proves anything these days. They just make statements with force and say, we're the right people, so trust. Oh, and guess what? The other right people are telling you they're going to form a coalition as well to censor disinformation. Not just be concerned, but censor. We are going to remove things that we don't like. Microsoft, Bill Gates, and all the right people, right? Why in the world is Bill Gates, of all people, in every sphere of every aspect of everything that's happening right now? Oh, that's right, because he's involved with the agenda. Not just COVID-19, the Great Reset, the whole push, fake meat, and the new 5G, Internet of Things, every aspect. Bill Gates seems to be the leading voice. Why? Because he's the face of this. The non-doctor, non-scientist, somehow telling you what you need to be doing and what you're allowed to think. A coalition, right? Why did we agree censorship was ever okay? Did we vote on that? I mean, this is all of a sudden flipped, right? With COVID and fear and danger, suddenly censorship is needed. There was a debate before about whether anything should be. Now it's just, well, absolutely. We all agree things need to be deleted. It's about what kind of things. No, that's not the discussion, but that's how they're framing it. And that is what people are falling for. Well, guess who it is? Microsoft formed a coalition to stop fake news. And remember, they're telling what we just did, what they're saying what we just did is fake news, despite citing random controlled trials, citing the WHO, but it's fake news though. So you can recognize the kind of quote fake news that will be removed. Other founding members, such as Intel, BBC, Adobe. Unbelievable. This is where it's going. Unless we do something about it, you won't see a T-Lab in the near future because everything will be removed. Online, right? We're not talking about certain platforms in general. Now, I will tell you right now that what we're building, or what they're building, and I'm a part of, is designed in a way that will make that, I would hope, impossible. I'll leave it at that. Because this is what we know. This whole thing was built around the idea that we know this is coming, and we know that it's happening. So it's an idea that will hopefully stop that from happening. Hope maybe it'll be the last, hope for something like that. Now, the last point on the censorship I want to point out is one of the great platforms right now that I'm using is something like Rockfin. I really do believe it's a great platform. And I actually really believe the people behind it are good people. They seem to care quite a bit about what we're doing. But the problem is that even good platforms like this are hosted by Amazon. We can now query directly from Amazon S3. says right here, Rockfin turned the Segment CDP to help them future-proof their data architecture and to make it possible to track and manage their customer data. Right? So if it's somebody trust, that sounds okay, but Segment Data Lakes gave Rockfin easy access to all of their raw data in Amazon S3, making their data more usable and unlocking new data sets. Now, look, in any platform like this, in most cases, you do need some level of data collection to be able to function the site and to be able to populate things. But as long as you can trust the platform to actually care about your privacy, that's become a common thing online. But the problem is we're finding out that most of these platforms that swear they care about your privacy don't care about it at all. And in fact, have immediately sold it off to the highest bidder. So the idea that we have Amazon involved with something like this means that if they really wanted to, they could pull the plug tomorrow if they thought Rockfin was getting too powerful and they thought content on there was too dangerous. Now, I will say that I've heard people have talked and Rockfin's already in the works trying to find something different, which continues to support what I believe about them. Right? Because a lot of people don't really grasp the severity of the censorship today until they find themselves in the middle of it. So it gives me hope that Rockfin is continuing to fight for us. But just recognize that all of this stuff is dangerous today if it has connections to that kind of infrastructure, that system, and almost all of it does. Now, bringing us into the next part of this discussion, I want to make a couple of points about our government in general. And showing you that these are two sort of disconnected points in abstract ways. One will be a little bit longer before we get into the mass discussion, but they're very, very important. And it shows us the kind of negligence, malfeasance of our government, that they are willing to allow you to suffer at every turn from local to the top, as long as the perception is that they're doing their best to fight for you. While they rob you, steal you, and you steal from you and suppress. As well as the fact that we have people in positions right now in Biden's administration that are pushing forward things that are very alarming. Seemingly, I mean, you know what? I'll let it speak for itself. Now, this first one is disconcerting to say the least, and it's something I've already reported on. But this is from the New York Times. It's on Yahoo News because New York Times has a paywall because they're likely failing like all the rest of mainstream media. But his lights stayed on during Texas storm. Now he owes $16,752. I mean, we already sort of talked about this story the other day, but this is a specific spotlight on this person's life that has just been destroyed because this is being allowed. Yeah, now, of course, the government's saying, we have to do something about this. We need to fight for these people. Yeah, the normal nonsense. Of course, we could only fight once everybody sees that, right? We've all known this was happening. We've all known that we have companies like this that are monopolies, that are abused. Look at PG&E in the United States or in California, right? Look at what happened with the fire. No, nobody is held accountable for these things. So to stand up now and be like, we need to save, it's the same thing as screaming about COVID relief. It's how we need to fight for these people. And then you send the vast majority of it to military and foreign governments. And no one seems to have a problem with that. That's still lost in the two-party paradigm. It says, as millions of Texans shivered in dark, cold homes over the past week, while a winter storm devastated the state's power grid and froze natural gas production, by the way, which I decided to leave off for the minute, but had an interesting effect in regard to China, of all things. Same with Myanmar, same with the attack in Iraq. All three of them seemed to kind of focal point and change something very specific that was going on with China. But there's a lot of things like that happened, but I find it really relevant that it seems that possibly these actions were created, conducted, made to happen for an effort to do, obviously, to go after what they just said was their focal point, that Biden's administration just said was their primary adversary. Interesting, don't you think? Oil deals with Iraq and pipeline deals, and it's very odd. But in any case, 70% of the country magically covered with snow. Interesting. But it says, those who could still summon light with the flick of a switch felt lucky. So understand, you're in your home. No one's notified you that anything has changed. You turn your light switch on, the lights come on. Do you ever think about that? Which we should, by the way. But do you ever really reflect on that? So you're in the middle of something that's going on. Yeah, you saw in the news that there's some kind of a blackout and power grid issues, but you don't think because you turn your light on that suddenly it's going to cost 500 times what it did a moment ago. That's called price gouging. That is literally taking advantage of people who are in the middle of a problematic situation. That's not supposed to be okay unless you work for the government. It says now many of them are paying a severe price for it. Quote, my savings is gone. Scott Willoughby, 63-year-old Army veteran, because you know how we love to take care of our veterans. Lives on Social Security payments in his Dallas suburb. He said he had nearly emptied his savings account so he'd be able to pay the $16,752 the electric bill charged to his credit card. 70 times what he usually pays for all of his utilities combined. Quote, there's nothing I can do about it, but it's broken me. Right. So we just let it happen? I can't even believe he's willing to pay that. It's because this person clearly believes in the structure, believes that this wouldn't happen if there wasn't some reason for it. I don't even know. I don't understand why anybody would think that that makes sense. But this guy did it and it destroyed him. And nobody cares. All we get is talks in the government about how we're going to do something, about how this needs to stop. But is anybody talking about how Scott should get his $16,000 back? No. Willoughby is among scores of Texans, though, who have reported skyrocketing electric bills as the price of keeping lights on and refrigerators humming shot upward. For customers whose electricity prices are not fixed and instead tied to the fluctuating wholesale price, which is most people, the spikes have been astronomical. It says, quote, we have a responsibility. This is the government now speaking up after this happened, right? Not doing something about the fact that it can happen. What, even in the middle of a pandemic, what happened to all the moratoriums on everything? Why are these people even paying bills right now if they can't feed their families? Nobody cares about any of this, though. Here's what they had to say. We have a responsibility to protect Texans from spikes in their energy bills that are a result of the severe winter weather. So no, what he's saying is we have a right to protect them from that, or we should. Not that that shouldn't have happened. Make sure you understand what he said there. That are a result of severe weather. That's not how that's supposed to work. You don't get to put the onus on the individual because you are suffering an issue because of the power outage. You have a deal with these individuals. You don't, if it's going to go up 500%, someone needs to say something. And by the way, it shouldn't happen at all. But sure, you have a responsibility to protect them, but you didn't. It says he's been reeling after the state's infrastructure failure. He said in a statement after the meeting, he said he added the Democrats and Republicans would work together to make sure people do not get stuck with skyrocketing energy bills. Right. Let's go to Congress and talk for the next 3 weeks about what we'll do. And we'll find a way to make sure this doesn't happen. But Scott, meanwhile, can't pay his bills, can't feed himself, and suffering from everything else that's going on right now. Meanwhile, he's lost in the cracks of the broken system that we live in. This is what everyone is dealing with right now. This is not an isolated event. This is the country you live in this broken, seemingly third world country that's turned into. I wrote about this years ago in regard to every single marker that makes what we call a third world country. And I'm talking 10 years ago, every single one of them, the United States country met. That's not because we want it that way. That's because your government is destroying this country for their own benefit and telling you they're fighting for you, like always. The government is not the country. You are the country. The people are the country. The moment they conflated the government with this country, everything started to go down. They are servants of the people. They are supposed to do what you want. They're not supposed to tell you what you can do. That's not how this works, but that's what they've created. And there are people that blindly go along with it for their obvious reasons that have nothing to do with caring about what's right or what you deserve or what should be happening. And another story that really makes me uncomfortable. The reality of what this person is doing in this position is incredible right now. And the fact that she would not respond to what she was asked is unnerving, to say the least. Now, I'm going to go through and just play you the video in a minute, but just the title reads, quote, you have permanently changed them. Rand Paul grills HHS nominee Rachel Devine over parental consent for trans minors. Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine. The first trans administration individual, and of course, that matters more than the credentials. Why? I don't know. It shouldn't. Credentials are all that matter. Are you good at the job? Do you have the credentials for it? That's what matters. I don't care what you look like, but apparently Biden only cares what they look like. And I'm the racist one. Isn't that funny? But it says minor children should be allowed to make, he's asking basically about whether minor children should be allowed to make irreversible life-changing decisions. You know, it should be a basic question. Either you agree that children should be able to make these choices, which she clearly does based on what's already happening, or you say, no, I disagree. And here, let me explain. That's not what happened though. It's incredible. But let's just take a look and watch it for ourselves.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but as WHO notes, that by social convention, social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community. American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question.
Now, before we go forward, I mean, I can't stand how this is not new in regard to the deflection. This is all we ever see anymore. The same old mindless response. Like, clearly that was she had that set. That was the response, right? It had nothing to do with what he asked at all. And of course, the problem is, let's just say she doesn't get confirmed, the entirety of the conversation will be she wasn't confirmed because she's trans. And that's crazy. You could argue that that's a factor here, but the fact that what we're literally talking about right now, the fact that she is pushing through this, I want to go back. I think there's a point in here I wanted to make that I forgot about in the beginning. It says, Levine, a transgender biological male and former pediatrician, refused to answer the question twice, instead suggesting that transgender medicine was a complex and nuanced field that should be open to private discussion. There was a point here in regard to, there was something I wanted to point out in here that I'm trying to remember. Well, let's just keep going then. I'm sure it'll pop into my head again. Well, anyway, the point I was going to make too was just simply that and this is something Rand Paul points out, right? I mean, the fact that we right now are talking about, that's what it was. I'm glad I remember this. So the article anyway, I don't want to try to find it. They're talking about the fact that she is pushing this through right now, right? That there's things in the way that are stopping this from happening. And she's just saying, making it happen, allowing children, and I believe he does point it out at the end, like 3 years old, to discuss this idea. And so we're not allowed to let kids drive, enter the military, smoke a cigarette till they're 18, 16. But yet we're allowing children to make life-changing decisions that are irreversible as children. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree. You want to do whatever you want with your own body as an adult, you go right ahead. I've never had a problem with that. I mean, look, there's already people in the chat that had an issue with the fact that I said her when I first said it. I don't care. I'll call you whatever the hell you want. I don't care, but I will acknowledge she's a biological male if that makes everybody feel better. But if you want to be called, that's fine. My point is, as it just leaves my mind, gosh darn it. it's incredible that this is there's so much about this that frustrates me. And at the end of the day, we should not be putting kids in a position to make these kind of choices when they have no idea what that will mean for them when they get older. I mean, we all know what that's like. They're trying to make it out to be that these trans, the kids at this age are so, you know, they're all this. I mean, when you were a kid, you wanted to be a superhero, right? You wanted to be a fireman. You wanted to do whatever you wanted to do as a kid. And there was no real logic to it. Now imagine if you thought something like that because it was trendy, because it was something you saw, because your mom, because your let's just whoever, your mom's boyfriend was a fireman or whatever, and you wanted to be that. Is that because you knew what a fireman was supposed to be? Because you understood what the job entailed? Because you realized the risks involved? No, it's because you thought it was cool because you thought something looked cool in that moment and you're a child. But here we are, where it's being justified and allowed. And I will be called a racist bigot for even making these statements. Even as, oh, that was kind of what I guess I was going to say, is that I don't really care about what you want to do with your life choices. But you start making this about children being able to make these choices, and it is beyond me why this is being allowed.
Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would.
Street kids, guys, like recognize these, like he's no parents, kids that are already victims of the disgusting system that is the Child Protective Services or whatever it's called in whatever state you're in. Horrible, horrible stuff that are reported on. I mean, their own institutions have called the child fostering, the child, the system for children without adults is essentially a funneling system for child trafficking. That's not my opinion. That came directly from these institutions. Something like 1 in 4, I don't want to pull it out the top of my head, but an overwhelming number, because it's just the people recognize the vulnerability of the system. And there's gross people that get into it, just like there's gross people that find themselves in positions of positions where they're around children because they're that kind of person. It's not always the case, but the point is it's possible. And this is something that is really disconcerting, that we're allowing young children at that age to be potentially given the opportunity to change themselves. I mean, this, again, the whole long-winded point is to recognize our government is okay with this right now. So if they're okay with this, they're okay with something like this, but about, let's get to the end and I'll make this point before, I don't want to jump ahead of what Ron Paul says. I'm sure this will probably be taken as a partisan point for some, but it shouldn't.
But have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breasts amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field. If confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER, but you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem.
None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies.
It's crazy.
We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who've been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex. I can't vote for you. Thank you so much, Senator Paul.
Senator Levine, thank you for answering the question. I will turn to Senator Baldwin.
Right. Thank you for answering the question. Make sure you get that on the record, right? I mean, this is incredible. We're talking about children, you know, and remember, they're talking about street kids that don't have parents. So who is setting this conversation up? Who is giving them advice? Clearly the people that already agreed this is what would happen. I mean, it's just outrageous. Remember that she was a pediatrician before this. So clearly she's aware of the people. And by the way, I just want to comment as well that I find it just as disgusting the people in the chat that are making gross comments about her. I find you equally as bad a person, just so that's clear. Okay, this is not about making fun of people. It's about what's right and wrong for your children. Just because this person decides that she won't, I mean, whatever. I hate it that this has to be some kind of a contentious thing. It's about it being forced on other people, not that it's possible, not that people have choices with their own body. Let's be adults about this, right? Let's be better than them, the media, the mainstream, as always, guys. But this is what your government is justifying. It's okay. They're telling you, I mean, Rand Paul was visibly upset by this. And rightly so. But here's what's interesting. Get this point is such a great point. And I didn't even know this necessarily. Don't take it as the partisan point. You know, doesn't matter. People everywhere were, mostly, yes, it was the left in this regard, but there are people on all sides of this claiming that hydroxychloroquine was dangerous. And you know what? I don't like any big pharma drugs. You should be able to pick whichever one you want. If you think it works, the government should be able to tell you that. But they said, no, that one's bad and this one's good. And there was this huge argument. And all of a sudden, everybody was arguing which big pharma drug they wanted. Funny how that worked out. But the point is that everybody had such an issue with that. Except we don't care that this is being used off-label? Are you kidding me? That is hypocrisy. It's a double standard like everything else we talk about. But you know why it's okay? Because this is an acceptable narrative that's already been forced in for God knows whatever reason to manipulate your children in some way. Because they're doing it every day in 100 other ways. Our Prussian-based school system is continuing to propagandize your children to be good little workers and do exactly what they're told. The police state with the presence in their schools are training them to do what they're told by police authority, no matter what. Here's just another way of manipulating their mentality. Of course, we're making them wear masks today and we're forcing them in corners and not letting them see their friends. I'm sure they're going to have really healthy adulthoods. And it just makes my stomach turn that this is being allowed, guys. And I hope we're able to see why this is wrong simply because they don't have the mindset to make these choices. So bringing this into the discussion of masks, because it's also being applied to your children in a way that I find to be criminal, that is criminal. A really important study from Dan Rancourt, PhD. Review of scientific reports on harms caused by face masks up to February 21st. Now, there was a bunch in here that I hadn't seen. And this goes to the point, oh, by the way, I forgot to give a shout out to, I want to make sure I say his name. I had a really interesting interview today with a young new content creator. His name was, I had it up here somewhere. Nicholas Peter Ugero. I'm not incredibly familiar with his work. I watched a couple of his videos. He reached out to want to do an interview. Just a really seems like a good kid that cares a lot about what's going on and, you know, passionate and trying to find the truth. And we were on there. I was on there this morning, in fact, and we talked about the idea of how, you know, we're able to have this content. We're able to discuss things and have this happen where you're here and you're listening and I'm talking. So people say, well, you're not censored. You're clearly here and we're able to see you. But there's a difference today. We've talked about this a lot. The way that you can search, like, let's say the title we have today, right? Let's say the title of Patreon deletes T-Left, huge mask study. Like, let's say you literally search Patreon deletes mask study, vaccine passports, and this video is the most seen video on the planet. You won't get the video that comes up unless you maybe search for like literally the exact title which you wouldn't know unless you saw where it was, or you search for the URL exactly. So the point is, the only people that see it are people that already have a connection to you or already know where it is. You're in this dark corner that people know where to find you, but yet, but anybody out there just looking for information that counters the narrative or goes against what they just heard, even if this is the most important video and most seen video on the planet, they won't find it. That's what's happening today, right? I mean, that's why these kind of studies are out there. And I've searched extensively, right? You guys know I'm painstakingly going around trying to find these exact studies. And this is the one I'm talking about, this one right here. And I couldn't, I didn't find them. How is that possible? When looking for exactly that, because I didn't know the exact URL, and the Google algorithms and everything else are happily burying these things. Just if you want a quick experiment, take anything, even like tangentially connected to anything COVID related, like a vaccine question or something about quarantines, anything, but make sure you frame it in a context that has nothing to do with COVID. Quarantines of the 1900s or whatever. And the first 15 links that pop up will be COVID-19, CDC, WHO, HHS. Why is that? Did you search for those things? Did you even mention COVID? No, but it's because the algorithm is slanted to make sure that you can't find information that goes around the narrative of COVID-19. You just won't. Like, there are literally studies about bacterial pneumonia and masks, things we've already talked about. But when you search for those two things, you won't find anything. You search for bacterial pneumonia and mask, you won't find any of my content. You can search for the next 1,000 pages and it won't pop up. Why? Because they're controlling it. That's why this stuff is so hard to find. And that's the censorship of today. Unless you are still reaching through, which we are, and then they just delete you and destroy your platforms and take your financial revenue and just do what they want. Now, I'm probably going to go through this. This is just the same one, a little bit easier to read. I'm probably going to go through this a lot more in near future shows, because this one's already going to be quite long, but I wanted to go over the main premise of this, and there's a bunch of studies in here. Great one I hope you'll check out. Maybe more people will look into more and find even more to come out of this, but review of scientific reports of harms caused by face masks up to February 2021. Dennis G. Oh, I'm sorry, I said Dan. Dennis G. Rancourt. My apologies, Dennis. That's just a brain fart there. PhD. Somebody I follow on Twitter who does amazing work. And somebody that I recommend you follow as well, because he's actually fighting for you. Not because of an opinion, but based on the facts. Summary. In a testimony to the power of propaganda, institutional capture, and the desire to socially conform, that masking of the general population has successfully been imposed during the COVID-19 era. The harms from this imposition are palpable and potentially long-term and gargantuan, not the least of which is the psychological training of the public to comply with an absurd measure that has direct personal negative impact. He reviews the mounting evidence of the obvious, which is universal masking harms people and society without any detectable benefit. Yeah, just another PhD that's an anti-science fringe conspiracy theory, right? As he literally goes through scientific study, but anti-science according to the mainstream media, right? That's all they can do, guys. I mean, it's getting embarrassing. All they can do is disparage, and then people will say, oh, Dennis, that he was debunked. what do you mean he was debunked, right? Oh, yeah, didn't you hear he was debunked? Oh, you mean everything he ever said was debunked? Everything he's ever said was wrong? No, one thing he said about one thing they've said wasn't true, but he's been debunked. So forever, for the rest of his life in mainstream circles, he's a fake news conspiracy because he's been debunked. You'll hear that a lot today, and it's making me laugh the more I think about it. When you say somebody's been debunked, what does that even mean? I mean, these are people with entire careers, with all kinds of reputable information, but they've been debunked. Don't worry, listen to the mainstream media. I just don't get why people are falling for this stuff. But he says, as early as 20 of April 2020, and this is actually one we have gone through, Lazzarino et al. Directly opposed a logical perversion of the precautionary principle. Oh, that's right. Which has been applied by some scientists and many lawmakers. And this is a really important part to this whole thing, that governments should act without definitive evidence just in case. I mean, for crying out loud, that is the premise for everything under COVID-19, right? Well, we don't know what's going on, but just in case, just wear it anyway, just in case it helps you. That has never been a plausible argument until COVID-19. Because first of all, there's plenty of things that are negative around it. That look, if you don't know, doesn't that mean it could also be bad? Yes, but we don't care about just in case, right? But without definitive evidence. That's lockdowns, that's masks, that's all of this stuff. And by the way, we're now finding out that there is actually evidence that just count it goes the other way. But they did it anyway. On August 13, 2020, the surgeons, and this is on Fontanza et al., another study, that all these are linked in here that you can look at. I'll show you one of them afterward. Warned that COVID-19 enthusiasm for imposing personal protective equipment on surgeons could put surgery patients at risk. The equivalent can be said of train, tram, and bus drivers and the large sector of workers servicing the public. Now, this is one of the most important ones. Because what this tells you is that this is previous documentation of doctors and people wearing PPE and recognizing that, yes, we can't wear these for extended period of time because already these things have a visible effect on surgeons, but they just accept it because they don't want to spit and have sweat drip in an open wound. But they know this. And yet the media today, even doctors are lying to you and saying, that's not true. There's no headaches or problems. It's documented as far back as you want to go. And I've already shown you that. But here's what it says. Either in the case of a second lockdown or not, the safety of PPE use against COVID-19 for surgeons should be investigated. All parts of PPE. And by the way, don't you recognize that that means that it's changed? Even under COVID, what surgeons are being told they should be doing is changing. Why? Why, when they're pointing to the use of the surgeons as justification for why we know it should be used? But if that's the case, why would it need to be changed on the surgeon side? Because none of this is normal and none of it, this is unprecedented. It's all been there. You just need to think for yourself. It says all parts of PPE increase surgeons' body temperature and sweating, leading to an impairment of surgeons' comfort, especially during prolonged and complicated surgical procedures. As mentioned above, PPE seems to be associated with important side effects like dermatosis and headaches for healthcare workers. Headaches are because of hypoxia. That's what that's coming from. As well as later hypercapnia. It says the PPE-associated discomfort and side effect during surgery may increase surgeons' anxiety and fatigue with performing difficult operations. Now, could you get a headache from other things? Of course you could. But we have scientific random controlled trials that are confirming headaches are one of the most common side effects due to hypoxia. Random controlled trials. All of them are listed in the article page of today. Even though they act like there's no, and they're only pointing to models and scientific studies from labs today, as if because that's all we have, as I'm showing you routinely, random controlled trials that find the opposite. But going forward. Abstract. Although scientific evidence supporting face masks' efficacy is lacking, adverse psychological, physiological, and health effects are established. It has been hypothesized that face masks have compromised safety and efficacy profile and should be avoided from use. Isn't that interesting? Long-term health consequences of wearing face masks. Long-term practice of wearing face masks has strong potential for devastating health consequences. Prolonged hypoxic hypercapnic state. So we understand hypoxia is the low blood oxygen level. And then, of course, hypercapnia is when you, I should look more into whether it can happen on its own. I'm sure it can. But the point is, when you become hypoxic, you start gasping more for oxygen, which you end up breathing in more CO2 because you're wearing the mask, which causes the hypercapnia, which only exacerbates the problem and leads to all the things we've already done shows on. I'm not going to go down that again today. If you want to check them out, check out Do Masks Cause Bacterial Pneumonia, as well as one of the recent studies in regard to a follow-up on that. And let's just do this. See if it starts to load for me today. Oops. I just want to show you as well one of the pages. So right here, let's see. Let's just go to the daily wrap-up. Oh, and by the way, so I should just show you this anyway, since we're here. If you want to go on the website in general, which I recommend is the only place you go to see our content, up here at the top, you'll see Ryan's series, which has the daily wrap-up. It links to the article pages themselves. It links to the videos themselves. And it also links to the clips that I put out, as well as the interviews. Then there's Whitney Webb series, and she has her different series, as well as you can click on her name and just get the current articles, as well as Derek Bros. And then here's Foreign Policy with Robert in the cache. All of them are there for you, as always. But the point is, you can come here and find the most recent. And here, is the one I'm talking about, or last one of the last couple. Here's actually a good one as well, going over the NIH saying that wet masks are good for you, which is just literally contrary to the science. And here's a good one in general that you should read. Understanding that this causes systemic inflammation. And I genuinely believe at least that it's very possible that all of the long, I guess you couldn't see that. I'm sorry. Let me jump this over here. That all of the long haul side effects potentially are coming from the things they're telling us we have to do, basically. Oh, that's the wrong one. Dang it. Apologies, guys. Here we go. Just so you can see it again. So Ryan series, daily wrap up articles, all that, web, bros, Robert. Important. Okay, back to the mass discussion. And it compromises normal physiological and psychological balance. Now think about the children, guys. Think about what's happening to these kids. It's all much more severe for them because they're smaller. And deteriorating health, and it promotes the developing and progression of existing chronic diseases. Now that is so huge, because what's happening is the masks are continuing to exacerbate already current problems, which are then being labeled COVID-19 or being ignored entirely. In any case, it's causing an increase in deaths, and it's increasing problems in general. And all this stuff is being lumped under the problem of COVID-19. Existing chronic diseases. That's so important. This is making you sick. Conclusion, wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have substantial adverse psychological and physiological effects. These include hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased acidity and toxicity. And acidity in your body is huge. Activity of fear and stress response, rise in stress hormones, immunosuppression. Guys, I mean, this is like everything. This is causing what we're talking about, which then exacerbates all the other things we're dealing with, including whatever's happening because of the vaccines. Fatigue, headaches, decline in cognitive performance. Think about kids in school trying to learn, trying to live their lives. Predisposition for viral and infectious illnesses. These are kids wearing them all day, guys. 8 hours. People, I talk about what they said before, trams and buses and mailmen. They're wearing these things even longer. As well as it goes on to say, predisposition for viral and infectious illnesses. What do you know? So it increases your risk of catching the very thing they're telling you the mask is stopping. Isn't that perfect? Chronic stress, anxiety, and depression. It's just a one-stop shop for everything Big Pharma wants, right? Make sure you do not miss that. Wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have predisposition for viral and infectious illnesses. That is what's happening. They're going to continue to say this is fake news and call me and delete me and do whatever they can. But guys, it's very clear. Like, it's just, that's what's so infuriating about this whole discussion, is it's right there. And these are PhDs. These are legitimate experts. Look, we should be clear. They could be wrong. Anybody could be wrong. But the fact is they're not even being given the right to discuss these things. They're being dismissed out of hand. And if they do not carry the narrative from the mainstream, they're fake news conspiracy theorists forever. They've been debunked for the rest of their life. Long-term consequences of wearing face masks can cause health deterioration, developing and progression of chronic diseases, and premature death. Now, obviously, you know my opinion is that I don't think this is incorrect at all. In fact, I think this is absolutely exact based on the science that I've extensively gone over for, six, 7 months now? Ad nauseum every day, because they keep pushing it back out with nonsense. But let's wear something that increases your risk of chronic diseases, infectious diseases, anxiety, depression, hypercapnia, hypoxia, premature death. Sounds like a no-brainer, right? Sounds like common sense. Remember that? Well, this goes on to go through a hell of a lot of information, which I said I will come back probably and revisit this, but I want you guys to understand the basics of what this is showing you and why this is a no-brainer. Med hypothesis. This is on the one we tend to look at. The NCBI, National Institute of Health, U.S. National Library of Medicine. Med hypothesis, 2021 January. Face masks in COVID era, health hypothesis. It says, although scientific evidence supporting face mask efficacy is lacking, adverse psychological, physiological, and health effects are established. This is the one we just read. It's right there. It says scientific evidence supporting face mask efficacy is lacking. Says it has been hypothesized that face masks have compromised safety. It's just incredible that this stuff is not being considered. But meanwhile, we have entire schools that are basically masking or masking and staying inside of a bubble, which, by the way, is in some cases happening in both. But I just wanted to make sure we saw how absurd this has gotten. So these kids are going to school and practicing band, but they have to do so in with they're playing instruments inside of containers. So can they hear each other? Is it even fun to play? I mean, is this making things happen so you can say we're back to normal? I mean, ask yourself this. If this is so dangerous, they have to be inside bubbles to play. Why are they there? Now, make it clear. I'm not arguing that we shouldn't let kids go back to school. I'm sure you know my argument that this is ridiculous and all of this shouldn't be happening. But within their narrative, which is how you play this game, only way to show how they're lying. They want this is like a hazmat suit. Yet it's okay they go to school though. We'll just let them wear these bubbles when they only play music. But sure, when they sit down to eat, it's all good. It's just insane. This is literally insane. And I don't understand how this is happening that people are okay with this. Band practice in bright green COVID bubbles. As well, remember when they told us we would go back to normal? Remember when they told us that this was only going to be 15 days to flatten the curve? Remember when they said this will never happen? They'll never make you wear masks. They'll never make you social. They'll never make you have a vaccine passport. They'll never make you quarantine inside of a green bubble while you're in gym class or in bright screen. I mean, it's just pathetic how this will continue to go and people will always rationalize. It's crazy. It is genuinely crazy. Actually, this one, good. I'm glad I solved this up. This is the other one I have in the main, and this is even more ridiculous. Because these are people that are there under in the same sense, but they have masks that have holes in them, though, because that still works, right? Why even wear it if there's a hole in it? It's the same as that ridiculous, actually, I don't even know if I can find it. Now it's probably not going to work. Oh, there it is. Man, this is so ridiculous. This is really stupid. This is a real thing. I covered this already. I'm going to see if they have the video. Oh, it's so bad. This guy made a thing, and this was way back in this. This was May 21st, right out of the gate, right? But don't worry, we're going right back to normal. This guy makes a contraption that you hold in your hand and you squeeze, and it actually opens it. Gosh, I'm going to find that this video is absurd. Dang it. I'm not surprised. Oh, maybe this is it. No, I'm not. Oh, there we go. Nice. Okay, watch this. This is really bad. I mean, and they're taking pictures. Like, this is a newsworthy event. What in the world? Why does that even make sense? Your mouth is exposed. So what's happening right there? Why do we think that that's still protecting you? Okay, so, you know, it's so ridiculous, guys. It really is that bad. Going back to the picture, so they're wearing masks in the same sort of way that have a hole in them. And blowing, which, by the way, doesn't just go right into the machine. If you ever play an instrument, plenty of that goes around the sides and goes out into the, above, not in the instrument. But that's okay, though, apparently, because no big deal. Because as long as you have a piece of plastic on your face, we're all protected, even though the spit is coming out in all sides. But then also recognize that they got little scrunchy holds on their hands they can put in so they can play it, but then recognize that there's no hole for the instrument, so it's muffled. So you're playing a saxophone inside of a bag because that's what musicians like. This is about looking normal. This is about showing, look, we're back to normal because we're in plastic bags and wearing face masks. It's just crazy. And also recognize that somebody had to make these. Somebody had to make a saxophone cover bag for COVID-19, which they probably bought. And somebody else is probably making a profit from, because we're never going back to normal. If you should have known by now, it's just pathetic. And there's no, if we're all there saying, screen, trust the science. And then we're using masks with holes in them and bags and spit that goes around the sides, but it's all good because we have some sort of a mask on. Is that trusting the science? No, it's about following the narrative. That's what it's really about. But going forward to the vaccine discussion, now children are being tested on, which you all know by now. We've been saying this for a while, that they're for at least a week now, they've been talking about testing on children. They're doing COVID actual, they're actually infecting people with COVID to test whether, you know, it's the worst thing ever. And we have to give even the placebos the vaccine because it's so bad. But now we're going to openly give it people so we can test them, which directly challenges the justification for why we should give it to the placebo people, because we can't let them suffer. So we're willing to sabotage and spike the long-term results of the placebos, but we'll directly contradict ourselves in other ways. It's just pathetic. They constantly do that. But in this case, we're testing on children. Teens, a coronavirus vaccine guinea pigs, despite the fact that we have every reason to be concerned about what these groups really are. This one will make you probably laugh out loud. Legal immunity and state assets as collateral. What? Not a joke. This is from Pfizer. They want the states to put up their own assets as collateral for insurance for their possible adverse events and what they pay out. That's not a joke. So does that make you feel safe to know that Pfizer is asking foreign countries to put up collateral for insurance for to cover their own issues in case they arise? It shouldn't. Not only do they have liability, but they're now saying you have to take care of anything on your own. Latin American governments, quote, held to ransom by Pfizer because we should trust them, like Trump said, right? During the vaccine talks. This is what it looks like. This is a health cabal. These are criminals, right? This is like a mafioso tactic. This is the Pfizer biosecurity mafia is what it seems like to me, the way that they're conducting these. They know that they're above the law. A number of Latin American countries have reportedly experienced extremely aggressive negotiating tactics by U.S. pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, which has demanded full immunity from any civil claims and state assets as a guarantee. So they won't even give them the vaccine unless they make sure that you can't be held responsible for anything. And as if that's not enough, then they want them to put down their own assets as a guarantee that that won't happen. Doesn't seem like they're a little bit concerned about getting held accountable for these things. Yes, but nobody will point that out. The questionable negotiating tactics by the pharmaceutical giant have been highlighted in a fresh report by the UK-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism. I've referenced them in the past. They've done some good work in the past. I've seen things they disagree with, but so with anybody else. Interesting, though, that they're calling them out. Officials from Argentina, as well as from another unspecified Latin American country, talked to the outlet, describing Pfizer's approach as to negotiations as, quote, high-level bullying that made the governments feel like they were being held to ransom. Is this what you would think a company that's creating some life-saving thing that's all for the benefit of everybody else? Remember in the beginning where they were like, we're not even going to charge anybody. It's going to be a health thing because it's all about saving everybody. Clearly not. It's all about profit. It always was. The pharmaceutical giant assertively demanded additional clauses. This is on top of liability from immunity from liability. Right. It's not even possible for them to be held accountable when something goes wrong. But on top of that, they're demanding additional clauses that would make it immune against any civil claims civilians might file over side effects from receiving the Pfizer jab. That was the first part. And since the company was still unhappy with the wording of its agreement, as it did not grant full immunity to Pfizer, but it allowed a change of jurisdiction established in advance in the contract. Right. So the moment that there was any possibility that somebody might be able to hold them accountable, they said, absolutely not. Pfizer ultimately requested a new law from the government. Make sure you hear that correctly. That's a quote. They requested that this country make a new law. And then the health minister, Gonzalez Garcia, said in December, he's describing the demands as somewhat unacceptable. Somewhat. So do you not begin to see, like, when Silicon Valley can, like, simultaneously deplatform across multiple platforms the sitting president, and how pharmaceutical companies can tell governments they have to make new laws, and how we can have, I mean, everything. We're seeing how this is developing. This is the technocratic state showing itself, the biosecurity state showing itself. You're looking at Pfizer being more powerful than a leader of a country. That's what that is. That's alarming. And it says, quote, Argentina could compensate for the vaccine's adverse effects, but not if Pfizer makes a mistake. Gee, where have you heard that before? Your government sure doesn't care about that. Argentina does. Biden doesn't care. If Pfizer knowingly makes a mistake, they're still covered. If Pfizer chooses to make a mistake, it chooses to poison people, let's say, Right now, they're still covered. Well, technically, I take that back because I think there is a clause in there that says unless it's intentional. But all they would have to do is argue that what happened was an accident and they would be clear. So that's what they're saying right there. If they make a mistake, if it's Pfizer's fault, there's no way that they should be immune from that. But they are in this country. As I make the joke, but it's not really a joke. I mean, even the delivery, even the nurses and the people involved are immune from the, or from liability. So if a nurse going to give you the shot trips and pokes you in the eye with the syringe, they're not liable. It's unbelievable and unprecedented. But it says, for example, what would happen if Pfizer unintentionally interrupted the vaccine's cold storage, I believe, and a citizen wants to sue them, right? So that would be Pfizer's fault. But it says it would not be fair for Argentina to pay for Pfizer's error. But guess what? You are in the United States. You are in the UK. You are in most places where you are right now. If that happens, you, out of your pocket, will pay for what happened. That's what's already happening with the Act of 1986 and other vaccines well before this. It's on you. The company, and by the way, that's why they use the Bayer system, so they can also disregard those things and act like it's all just reporting. And ultimately, it comes down to what the company themselves has to say. That's why Trump said, well, didn't you listen to Pfizer? They told us it was good. The company then urged Argentina to take out international insurance to pay for potential future cases against the manufacturer. They wanted them to take out insurance on their own in case Pfizer makes a mistake so they can cover it with their insurance. To pay for future cases against Pfizer, and ultimately demanded that it put up unspecified sovereign assets as collateral, right? Not just normal loan. They need you to put up your sovereign assets as collateral. What in the world is going on? Quote, we offered to pay for millions of doses in advance. We accepted this international insurance, but even on, so they accepted all of that, if you can believe that. But it says the last request was unusual. Pfizer demanded that the sovereign asset of Argentina also be part of the legal support. Oh, excuse me. That was the quote. The point is they agreed with everything except the sovereign asset, which I just can't even understand. Insurance for them on your behalf. But it says it was an extreme demand that he only heard of foreign debt to be negotiated, or once they got to foreign debt to be negotiated. Argentina is not the only Latin American country to have faced these tactics, though. Brazil went public in late January with its condemnation of the abusive negotiations. But of course, you don't hear about this because your media will never tell you this stuff. Because if anything even remotely seems to create vaccine hesitancy, then it's fake news. They won't even talk about it, even if it's true, by the way. Pfizer demanded to be indemnified from civil cases and urged the government to create a guarantee fund deposited into a foreign bank account. Brazil was, was asked to put up assets as collateral as well. So they wanted them to make a guarantee fund with money just there waiting in case something happened, meaning Pfizer did something or something was caused by the vaccine and Brazil is putting up the bill. Approached by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, Pfizer did not elaborate on its negotiating practices, of course not, insisting that it has, guess what, already allocated doses to lower middle income countries. I just love how they perceive them. Those gross little ones over there at a not-for-profit price. So not only are they lying and just demeaning them, you realize, so these are multiple countries who've independently said this is what's happening. And Pfizer is threatening and calling for insurance, and they come back and they just completely say the opposite. No, we already gave them some, and it was nothing, and we didn't even ask for money. It's not true. The company declined to comment on these private negotiations that multiple governments have pointed out. But according to them, no, we didn't do that. But yeah, let's trust the company that has over $4 billion and paid out for lies and safety issues that they've already conducted before this. They've been caught. They paid out billions of dollars just for lying about safety or lying about things just like this. But you know what? Let's trust them this time. I'm sure it'll work out. Pfizer and biotech are firmly committed, it says, to working with governments and other relevant shareholders to ensure the equitable and affordable access to our COVID vaccine for people around the world. What does that remind you of? The same old regurgitated answer from Levine. That's politics for you. That's government. Pfizer and biotech are firmly committed to working with our government. That's even if they were the most villainous thing in the world that were pumping garbage into people's arms, they would still say that. hey, maybe that's what's happening. The point is, that's the statement that will always be stated, even as they're cheating, lying, stealing, manipulating. We'll be committed to doing everything we tell you we'll do. It's ridiculous, but that's all they can do, and they won't actually be honest while they're stealing, manipulating, while they're threatening foreign governments to take out their own loans to cover the losses that will come from the side effects, just like, by the way, the UK did too. And said, we need a new AI system to make sure we can handle the high volume of adverse effects. And they then go, but we didn't mean high volume, we meant normal. Totally. But don't worry, because nothing's happening though, right? There's no such thing as 36 COVID vaccine recipients developing rare blood disorders after getting either Moderna or Pfizer shot. Doesn't happen. There's not people that are dying after getting these shots and everyone continues to act like nothing's happening. It's not happening. It's all totally safe. Just trust what's happening. It's everywhere. It really is. 36 people have developed rare blood disorders after getting these vaccines. Why would anyone get the jab after this? After Associated Press is criticized for saying COVID vaccines won't bring life back to normal. Right. Why would you get the vaccine if you know that they're telling you that nothing will change? Especially when you recognize that this thing won't stop transmission. When the studies have shown that they didn't even try to find out. And by the way, we're continuing to see real-world examples of why we can tell that it doesn't. I argue it wasn't even intended to. But the most important part, mainstream U.S. media is under fire for publishing an article telling Americans that life won't go back to normal even after they've been fully vaccinated. And guess what? Critics argue, well, the message discourages vaccination. Oh, so is it incorrect? Is it wrong? I mean, did he say something he shouldn't have? No, it's the truth, but it discourages vaccination. That's my point. So the truth, if causing vaccine hesitancy is... No, it's taboo. You're not allowed to say that, even though it's true. I mean, it says it right there. This is not a secret. They are telling you, no, you will have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. You will continue. 2022, we keep being told. But you can't state that without getting discouraging back. I mean, it's just crazy. We are in the middle of this, and it's never been this clear. Hopefully, people are beginning to see that. But on top of everything else, we're now being told that, guess what? Your common cold antibodies may, in fact, be fighting against COVID-19 anyway. I just think this is ridiculous. I mean, it says antibodies to the 6 coronaviruses that cause common colds, that are already there, by the way, cannot, what they say, neutralize the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. I guess we'll just take their word for that. But antibodies to 2 of them might actually help fend off severe illness. So you know why I'm telling you this? Because that means it's just as good as the most recent vaccine we heard about. That's the truth. Because understand, even Pfizer's vaccine only talks about medium mild symptoms, not severe. But they added that on recently. But even in any sense, the point is, we are talking about your previous antibodies to another coronavirus that works just as good as the vaccine. But let's rush out and get the thing that's totally dangerous based on everything else we've seen. And the fact that it's a rushed injection that has never been successfully done before, that has all kinds of things that are possible, including pathogenic priming, antibody-dependent enhancement, molecular mimicry, all these things we're seeing, including what has already been shown to happen with previous coronavirus vaccines. But nobody wants to talk about that. You're probably already good anyway, based on these things, if you're believing their narrative. My point is, even within their narrative, they're showing you things that already challenge the ultimate point. But if you think for one second that people out there are just gung-ho for this thing based on what the media is telling you, I don't know why you're still listening to the mainstream media. Anywhere you look right now outside of this controlled narrative, you will see that people are mostly not okay with what's happening. Here's what happened in Australia.
In a time of heartfelt challenge, it's been a time of deep loss and extraordinary sacrifice for everyone. And with vaccinations on the way, rolling out in many countries around the world, it's now a time for optimism and hope for the future.
That's right. Boo. Everybody booed. I mean, that wasn't just some of them. That was the crowd booing. At a time when we need to come together with the vaccine, they're not buying it, guys. I mean, this is a mainstream event. This isn't some, it's just incredible to recognize that they keep screaming at you about how you're the crazy fringe. I don't think you are. It's just time to accept and recognize that that is at least possible, that we are at the very least half of the people of this country, or of the world, in fact, that see that we are being deceived. Which brings us into one of the most obvious deceptions that are still currently being called fake news, if you can believe that. I just saw it today. Don't forget your passport. Remember, you get your green pass after two doses of the vaccine. This is from the World Economic Forum, showing you that they're talking about vaccine passports, right? It is happening. This was from February 23rd. I already talked about this, but here was what Hector Riviera said, and I thank you for pointing this out. Conspiracy fact. A year ago, people like ones listed below, I'm one of them, warned people this was coming. Now it's here. Want to be ahead of the curve? Follow them. And it's Whitney, RFK Jr., Del Bigtree, James Corbett, Derek Bros, Spiro. A lot of good people have been trying to get your attention to point this out, and we were laughed at. You're crazy. They're never going to do that. They're never going to make you wear a mask. They're crazy. And by the way, again, people are still saying that, but it is literally happening. Israel adopts a law that allows names of unvaccinated to be shared. This is after the vaccine passport. That's already happening. Now they're going to go, well, on top of that, we're going to share your names with people so they can attack you, so they can call you out, so they can do things to you. What else would that be for? It's public shaming, but they don't care. There's a lot of comparisons to what this feels like for the people of Israel doing this in regard to historical comments. You are making a very specific part of your society ostracized. Just think about how hypocritical that is. Israel adopts a law for now allowing these names to be shared. Trust me, that's coming too. But guess what? After they did that, well, all of a sudden, what do you know? Israeli COVID vaccines shot up 50%. Why? Because people are terrified of their government, and they have a right to be, just like we do. So they realized what was going to happen, and half of them just gave in, which I don't want people to do. Take a stand, guys. But you have to realize that it doesn't just shoot up 50% immediately, unless those are people that weren't going to do it until they got pushed to do it. And you're going to see a similar thing in this country. There's a lot of people that are just kind of like, well, I don't want to, but if I'm forced to, I will. Or if they'll tell me I'll get my life back, I will. Be smarter than that. Especially if you know what's going on in this show, you recognize that this is an alarming thing that should not be trusted right now. That's my opinion. Come to your own. But on top of that, on top of recognizing that coercion works, that they can manipulate and try to and basically threaten to expose your name and why you should be ostracized, it worked. People got scared and they worked. But on top of that, U.S. cases dropped below 70K for the first time since October. Oh, well, I guess the vaccines must be working, right? Everything's working. Oh, except that's not the case. Except only 6% of the country is in fact vaccinated. I don't know why. I was noticing this thing, actually. This is USA Facts. For some reason, that one will. It won't let me highlight anything down here. Oh, that one will. That's weird. These ones won't. I guess it was just these. Maybe it's an image. I don't know. Never mind. Scratch that. 6.3% in regard to the second dose, but 13% in regard to just one. But so we're clear. In no way. And just also so we're clear, these drops, these very clear drops in everything, were starting long before we even got close to that. But the point is, it's not because of the vaccine. So why are we even playing this game? If it's already starting, it's by and large because of the manipulations of the PCR test, because of the way they change what they're allowing to be called a COVID case right when this all needed to happen. It's just like we told you it would. It's an engineered effort, in my opinion. But in any sense, it doesn't matter because the numbers aren't justifying the fact that we need this thing, including the fact that it's not as dangerous as it's being framed. Just look at the CDC website. Of course, it's made impossibly hard to find these days. You don't even know where you're searching and the information goes to different page. You won't be able to find exactly what you want to search for. They make that the case, just like with all the rest of them. But the truth is that the data under 80 at the very least is less than the flu. But of course, when you blend in the pneumonia and flu numbers and you blend in the people who are over 70 in nursing homes, which is what, like 80% of the total numbers all over, it's absurd. That is what blends in with the other numbers, and it ends up making things look a little bit higher. But even that, I question entirely. I question the motives of people using intubation with people that don't need it, or telling people they're sick and putting them in closed off rooms when they're 90 years old and they just slowly fade away. This happens, and it did happen. That's why Cuomo tried to cover it up in New York. Point being, If only 6% of people have gotten their full doses of vaccines and we're already seeing this dramatically drop, it's not because of the vaccine. It's because of everything else and not because of the measures that didn't work up until now. It's not like all of a sudden lockdowns kicked in, right? It's not what's happening. It's because of either natural escalation of this or because it's just not really ever as there the way they said it was to begin with. And when they tweaked the PCR test and everything else, it instantly started going away. However you look at it, you're being lied to. And Patrick Henningsen is always right on the pulse here. He says, yes, this is really happening. Time to get off the fence. They weren't merely mulling over vaccine passports. That was their primary objective all along. And now you know. And this is exactly what I told you would happen. Bait and switch. NHS tracking COVID app, right? About contact tracing and social distancing. And that's all it would be. Up, suddenly it becomes a vaccine passport app. What do you know? Just like they were planning to do all along. And just like I told you. And he's right. It says, despite repeated denials, even people online, government officials, and obfuscations by various UK government ministers and the United States, it's now become clear that Boris Johnson's government has been planning the vaccine passports all along. In fact, it appears to be the end goal and fulcrum of all supposed mitigation policies, which have been pushed on the public over the last 12 months. One thing I want to read here, as it says, according to the new report in the Times, Downing Street is considering allowing businesses to demand to see a person's vaccine passport before allowing them to enter the premises. Now, the point in that is showing you, as always, that whether or not they mandate these passports, if they're even there and in existence, whether or not the government makes you apply to it, if they're allowing businesses to make that decision for themselves, some of them will, and it will begin to happen. And it will, of course, be promoted, and the media will pat them on the head and say, you're fighting for your people, good for you. It'll be propagandized. But the point is they're putting the onus on the companies, just like they did with the masks. They made the enforcement arm deal with it. They made the store people deal with it. Probably because they knew it was wrong or illegal, but on top of because it's just easier. But the point is always is that it's here. It's happening. Oh, but as long as he calls it something else, then I'm sure we're okay. We'll call it COVID status certification and nobody will catch it.
The third review will consider the potential role of COVID status certification in helping venues to open safely. But mindful of the many concerns surrounding exclusion, discrimination, and privacy.
Yeah, I mean, of course, as long as they say mindful of the things we're going to do, then it's all okay, right? It's like anything before the word but is meaningless, right? And it's like, as long as you just rattle off what you're supposed to say at the end, and then what you do ends up doing exactly what you said you wouldn't do, it's all okay, because didn't he say he was trying not to do it? Good for him. Good job, Boris. Mindful of their privacy as we destroy their privacy. It's just ridiculous. A disturbing U-turn indeed. And it's precisely because of the exclusion, discrimination, and privacy concerns that millions of people will never accept them. But as this person points out, so I'll take Boris's answer to the vaccine passport question, quote, something we'll have to review in the future, as a yes on vaccine passports. Just a conspiracy theorist, they called me. Won't ever happen, they said. And you know what? Vix Hodges is right anyway, because they're literally happening right now. And it's incredible that people like this have to be told they're crazy. She's right. They're happening all over the world. It's not a secret. No jab, no NHS job. Professor Chris Witty says COVID vaccines could be compulsory. This is in regard to medics and care staff, the very people that have been saying no. Because all work, get this, this is his logic. They should be compulsory, mandatory. Why? Because, well, all staff members should want to get it anyway. Wow. This is a bad dude. Right? So because we're putting our morals or whatever you want to call it on you. Like, I have the wrong word for it. We just point is we're saying because you should want it. We're just going to make you take it. Is it freedom? I mean, who's deciding what we should want? Apparently the government. That's crazy. This is the guy we're talking about. You know, definitely one of the people we should be really concerned with. But here's the point I wanted to bring up, at least in the United States. It's in the UK as well. But this is why he's saying this. So you should be forced to because you should want it anyway because it's the best thing in the world. Well, 60% of U.S. healthcare workers disagree, refusing to get the vaccine over fears of side effects. Aren't these the very people that are heroes? Didn't you just spend the last 6 months screaming at us that these were heroes that we should be revering? But now they don't want it and now they're quiet about that, huh? Now they're not heroes anymore. Isn't that funny? It's also the point that we're talking about people that know this stuff, the people that are, in fact, well-versed on what these things are, and they don't want it. Why can't we see what that shows us? It's just, it's staggering how clear that is. At the very least, they're concerned about it. And you know what? You should be too. But that, again, is why the governments are going, well, we'll just make them take it like they always have in the past. But no jab, no job is medical fascism. I agree. It is hideous to suggest that doctors, nurses, and care home workers should be coerced into taking injections of experimental mRNA on the threat of losing their livelihoods. Hashtag SackWitty, if you're in the UK, and I stand with that for sure. This is a Heritage Party leader. But I want to give you a shout out to Derek Brose back in May 26th, calling this out, right? I mean, we were just pointing out this is happening already, and people just didn't want to hear it. Your immunity passport future begins to materialize as airlines call for digital ID tracking systems. Back in May, the International Air Transport Association, the IATA, which represents 299 airlines, recently issued their publication, Biosecurity for Air Transport, a Roadmap for Restarting Aviation, which outlines their strategy to open up air travel as governments begin to lift travel restrictions. People said crazy fake news. You're being a fear monger. You're, you know, all the things we normally hear. Well, they were wrong, just like every other time when we're citing facts and they call you a conspiracy theorist. IATA media update on COVID-19. This is as of the 24th. Derek just sent me this today. This is basically a breakdown of how this is going to go. Travel pass, right? Yeah, fake news, right? Here it is. This is about lab verification, right? I mean, we're talking about testing here, guys. This is about COVID vaccines. You're going to have this travel app that will decide whether or not you are able to do things. Travel, as well as much more, I think, when it evolves. This is just about the traveling and these airlines. But as we have the UK with their own version, this is going to blend. And it's going to be restrictions, period. That's what this is. Test results, travel pass. And here's the one important part. Look at this. This travel pass is set to go live on April. So really soon, in March, full pilot with Singapore, trial phase with other airlines, March and April. This is all happening. I mean, this is already timelined out, right? This is not fake news. So I just, first of all, want you to recognize that this is something that he called out a long time ago, but recognize that it wasn't that hard to see. You had people that were willing to directly lie to your face because they hoped that you would be swayed by their forceful speaking and not look at the data. And just go, well, Derek's a conspiracy theorist because they said it really loud when it was always right there, right in front of you. It's coming your way, guys. That's the point. And he's going to probably follow up on this with some more research, another article possibly. But at the end of the day, vaccine passports are here. They've already been here. And it's going to eventually get to a point to where you will not be able to live your life without proving that you've had something that you desperately don't want and that 60% of nurses didn't want. That's called coercion. But that's why we have U.S. doctors proposing a vaccine bill of rights to protect citizens from forced shots. Right, because these doctors are anti-science conspiracy theorists, right? All of them, no matter what. Every PhD and Nobel laureate and entire government organization, all anti-vaccine, anti-science conspiracy theorists. They're desperate to say that about anybody. No one, not the government, employers, nor any individual, should maintain the authority to force anyone to get vaccinated, and a vaccine bill of rights in your state will ensure that they don't. It doesn't matter how severe you think something is or what's going on. You don't get to then say suddenly the things that we say are the most paramount foundational principles of this country are suddenly on pause because that's a little scary. You have no constitution. I mean that in regard to you personally, if you think that that is how that should go. Stand up for something, for crying out loud. If you think you should do it, then go ahead. But why don't you fight for people's rights to have a right with their own body? You know, what's funny is most of the people that are fighting for us to be forcefully given this vaccine are the same people that were screaming, my body, my right, when it applied to something else. Well, on top of that, I just want to make sure I point this out again, that I pointed out a few times in the past. The Universal Declaration on Human Rights. Just make this easy so it stays lit. 2005, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, right? International. International Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights, right? This is exactly what matters in regard to what's happening now, bioethics. And you won't be shocked to find that people that haven't seen this yet, I recommend you go. I went through this in depth in a long show a long time ago. But the points for today, and I really do hope you go through this entirely, it's very important, are these points right here. Under Article 3, Human Dignity and Human Rights, the interest and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. You don't just get to not do that. Whether it's this or plenty of other things, this has been enshrined in numerous ways throughout history, that we have this right, that they don't get to say you are less important than our overall agenda or what we claim is a safety for the site or the agenda of science, which has been used and abused and bastardized by terrible people all throughout history as well. The point is your interests and your welfare are priority over whatever they're trying to push, says international law. On top of that, under consent, which by the way, they list twice in here because it's just that important, any preventative, diagnostic, and therapeutic medical intervention, including masks, by the way, to be carried out with prior, free, and informed consent of the person concerned based on adequate information. Excuse me. Now you could argue that that in itself is clearly not being met. But on top of that, this is the important part. The consent, however met, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time and for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. But recognize that literally everything we just went through is outlining how they're going to disadvantage and prejudice everybody involved with the process. That's what this is. You're going to be disadvantaged if you don't have your vaccine because you can't go on certain travel or go on certain buses. You're going to be prejudiced in regard to people pointing you out and saying, oh, you're one of those. It didn't do it. You anti-masker. That's what this is. All of this stuff is violating everything that is sacred in regard to bioethics, and they don't care because it's about something much larger than that. It's about control. And to wrap this up towards the end, we have lockdowns in general that are clearly continuing despite the evidence, despite the data, despite all of the information showing us from a year that these things aren't actually what we should be doing. Who cares though? Because it's about doing what we want to do that puts you in a position of weakness that we can manipulate. And since I just remembered I have this clip in general, here is what the WHO, you know, the group that we're supposed to listen to, they tell us, actually still says about lockdowns, and they don't listen to them, because that makes sense.
Well, a problem we don't think about in lockdowns is that they're very nationalistic, that if we lock down our economy, then it hits our economy. But it also means we are not buying stuff. We're not trading with weaker economies. We are not just destroying our own jobs. We're destroying the jobs of all those that in the poorer parts of the world that export to us. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Indeed.
Clearly, right? I mean, that's exactly the point. But that's the WHO though, right? When he says everything he's talking about there is in regard to the lockdown, not COVID-19. What he's saying right there is we are knowingly putting poorer people in worse positions. Understand how ridiculous that is while the Biden administration can't stop screaming about how well they're fighting for those people. Right. I mean, recognize that while what they're doing is exactly what he just said, impoverishing them further. Can't say that properly for some reason, but it's clear. And on top of any of that, the fact that we are making poorer people more poor, the fact that we are making people in sicker positions more sick, that everything, this is just eugenics on rapid drive. Aside from that, recognize that he's saying lockdown shouldn't be used. I thought we were supposed to listen to the WHO. Right? I thought that was the whole point. I thought I was just censored because I wasn't listening to the, even though I was, by the way, that's facts don't matter to Patreon. So why are they still doing lockdowns? Well, because governments decided that they know better, right? So it was okay to challenge, you can't challenge the WHO and we're going to censor everybody until we don't like what they say. Oh, well, then we're going to do what we want. But you will still be censored if we challenge that and us though. You can't challenge either now. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And we know this. It's just insulting that it continues. Here we are, as he's pointing out, the new leaked Murdoch time purported UK coronavirus timetable. So they already have an outline. Oh, we'll let these open by March. We'll give them these by April. We'll give them some cinemas and some theaters by May. And August, maybe some nightclubs. Does that make any sense to anybody? Why is one different than the other? Why is there a time breakdown? And why do they know by August or by March? It has nothing to do with keeping you safe. As they point out down here, how on earth can they plan so far ahead? Have they resorted to having it's clear that doesn't make sense. And just as I keep telling you, and this is actually really important, this came out today. No matter what else happens, no matter what else we're talking about, guys, all they have to do is say, variant. For those in the podcast, the headline reads, the European Union to keep virus restrictions, even while things are getting better, because variants pose threats. That's what it says. Oh, you mean those variants that the WHO said weren't any more transmissible or dangerous? Yeah. Or the nerve tag groups also agreed. We don't have enough evidence to suggest that they're more dangerous, but Neil Ferguson said so they went forward with it anyway. But the evidence does not back it up. Yes. But just because they may be dangerous, will keep you on damaging, alarmingly bad lockdowns that are making poor people worse, that are making people sick, that are increasing suicide rates exponentially. But just because it may be dangerous, even though we've got nothing happening, will keep you in this position. This is criminal, guys. This is straight up criminal. These are authoritarian governments trying to keep you in position so they can execute what they're trying to execute. I don't see how that can be any more obvious. At the very least, whatever you think is happening, they're using something that is not backed up by the evidence to keep you in a position that is absolutely backed up by the evidence, damaging to you and your health, damaging to your psychology, your mentality. And remember, we just pointed out the discussion of them saying, well, we'll do it just in case. That's the same mentality that's driving all of COVID-19. And they're erring on the side of their own power. Of course they are. Also recognized as Dr. David Samadi, MD, points out, there have been zero detected cases of the flu in the UK this winter. How is that possible? Well, you guys watch this show. You already know how that's possible. It's because they're being claimed as COVID-19 because they already tell you they're combining flu and pneumonia because they say it's secondary cases. But when you notice that flu doesn't exist outside of COVID, you recognize that they're all now secondary cases, no matter what. And why that's justified or okay is beyond me. But nobody in the mainstream seems to care. But as they point out, in Spain, we had officially only 6 flu cases during all of 2020. 6. And the majority says it's due to wearing masks, that we've all done a wonderful job. This isn't a joke, guys. This is exactly what they said in the United States, right? Well, so they say, well, flu is gone because we're doing such a good job wearing masks, we're social distancing, and all these things are happening, lockdowns. It's a no-brainer, guys. Flu's gone because of that. And then the next discussion comes up. Oh my gosh, why is COVID still here? Well, because no one's wearing masks and they're not doing what they're supposed to. All these people are anti-vaxxers and maskers. Okay, well, they can't be happening simultaneously, but they're using both simultaneously. And here's the point. Flu disappeared before the masks, which you don't need to know that because you've already watched this show. But the data is painfully clear, as it usually is, if you're looking at the data and not listening to what they tell you the data is. And a really sad story or reality of this all is mentioning the suicide. She says, I hesitated posting this. It's a harsh reality and one that's whispered about, but never really put front and center, except on this show and some of the independent media. We are a year into this horrible disease or horrible psychological operation. We are making any and all decisions to preserve life from the disease. We have forgotten about other illnesses. So even from someone that seems to believe that we're in danger, still recognizes that we're ignoring other things, and that's damaging. This is a look at the repercussions of doing that. Look at their faces. These children deserve so much more. So do their parents. We need to work on solutions that do their best to keep everyone safe. 1 in 4 young adults are struggling with suicidal thoughts since COVID hit. 1 in 4. 25% of all children are thinking they want to kill themselves. I mean, how in the world is that okay? So here we are manipulating the minds of young children to tell them it's okay to alter their bodies in ways they don't even understand. We're putting kids in a position where 1 in 4 are currently struggling with suicidal thoughts. And yet we're all saying, well, that variant could be dangerous, even though we don't know. So we'll just keep doing this catastrophic thing until we know for sure, probably forever though. So just keep it quiet. Be quiet over there. Right? I mean, that's what this is. Well, London Bruins ended her life September 21st, 2020, 13 years old. 17-year-old Elise Kirsch ended her life on October 4th, 2020. Kanasha Manning died by suicide November 15th, 2020. She was only 17. Livia Aidens, a middle school student, ended her life on October 5th. She was 13 years old. 12 years old. 17 years old. 15 years old. 14 years old. On and on and on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. These are just the ones that she put together. If 1 in 4 right now are children that are considering doing this because they don't understand what just happened to their life, and in many cases are being told that it's their fault because they don't want to do what they, I mean, this is sickening to me, and it doesn't matter. As she says, the governments don't care. It just doesn't care. And when you're thinking about the PCR test that they're using to justify that manipulation, the PCR test that Dr. Scoglio, PhD, considers to have a possible 95% false positive rate when tested between 40 and 45 cycle threshold, which they just admitted is still what the vast majority are using. Positive results from UK single gene testing for SARS-CoV-2 may be inclusive, negative, or detecting past infections. Abstract. The UK Office for National Statistics published a regular infection survey that reports data on positive PCR tests for SARS-CoV-2 virus. This survey reports that a large proportion of positive tests are based on the detection of a single gene rather than on two or more genes as required in the manufacturer instructions for use. Another reason why the CDC put this out and said, hey guys, double check those manufacturing use instructions for use. And alter this and alter. I mean, they clearly said this has an effect on this. And they were telling them this stuff right here. And by the way, it wasn't abstract. It said right down in the documentation about what cycles to use, despite the fact that half of the mainstream media were like, you guys are so stupid. They didn't say anything about that. And of course, they were told what it said, didn't know, because I literally read it on the air. But because they know that we're crazy, they just assumed that we were wrong. That's what mainstream does every day. But what this is saying, that the manufacturer's instructions for the PCR test says that it requires two or more genes, and that this is pointing out that the UK Office for National Statistics is publishing their information that states that a large proportion of their positive results are based on just one gene. So they're just not even following the instructions? Yes. And this is likely another reason why we saw a huge spike and now it's subtly going down. Or not so subtly. But it says, and by the WHO in their emergency use assessment, meaning the WHO also points out that this has to be this way. The proportion of positives called on single genes increased from mid-November to mid-December 2020. Remember the spike we're seeing, right? Shifting suggesting a shift in testing policy coincident with the reporting significant increase in transmission of the new variant B117. And again, starting in January 2021. So it seems like they're being perfectly timed to create spikes that are used in the media. Without diagnostic validation on the single gene call for both the original and the B117 variant, it can only be assumed that the absence of confirmatory testing, many of the reported positive results may be in fact inconclusive, negative, or from people who had suffered past infections, meaning that a huge portion of these tests are likely not what they told you they were. It's just added to the list, one after the other. We're being deceived. It's incredibly clear. Now, this is coming from the Queen Mary University of London, but I'm sure it'll be dismissed and ignored just like everything else that doesn't fit the narrative. They're straight up telling you, and I'm going to make sure I revisit this again, because this is a really big deal. And I'm going to compare this with the release they did about what they should be doing with the infrastructures for use. And I guarantee there's a correlation there. And this is going to be the last thing I talk about today, because I just want you to say, I just want this to kind of resonate in people's minds. Going back to the discussion of our government and what they're capable of, or the idea that our government has admitted to testing 239 times on people in this country. I have been intentionally sterilized, it says, and I've been lied to. This is being posted by a public defender. Meet Kelly Dillon. While she was incarcerated in California prison, she was the victim of systemic modern-day eugenics. Then she discovered she wasn't alone. Doctor's response, quote, "It's cheaper than welfare." This is not a joke. They are systematically sterilizing people in prison. Now, if we believe for one second they would do this, they wouldn't be willing to do this to people that they thought, like, look, if they decided that it's for their best interest, or that it's for the best interest of society, which seems to be their going narrative today, or always really has been, and so they're willing to do this without people's knowledge, which is what this was, why would we balk at the idea that they'd be willing to do it to other people? I just want you to think about that, to recognize the possibility that we are literally dealing with a real-world current adaptation of eugenics that's being applied to our population. It says the law prohibits sterilizing people in prison for the purposes of birth control, but California was doing it anyway. What? I mean, it's just, I won't even be surprised that literally nothing happens because of this. Kelly's lawyer, quote, "The state has admitted that they have done these illegal surgeries, but we don't know who they actually did them on." This is what impunity looks like. I mean, this is why you have Gavin Newsom getting like 1.8 million signatures to get him out of office. And which, by the way, is funny because it seems to contrast what they tell you the majority thinks. People do not agree with our governments today. It's everywhere. But they'll sure as hell tell you they do. That's the fake majority. The false majority has always been there. Central California Women's Prison is the world's largest women's prison. Now, also recognize this is just women in this case, which is far more important in regard to population growth. Central California's women's prison is the world's largest women's prison. The farmland surrounding it helped conceal the brutal human rights violations happening in the inside. Inmates, quote, became numbers. Kelly says, quote, "They don't get names, and that's why it's easier to abuse them." Kelly teamed up with radical female lawyers to spearhead investigations to try to bring accountability. In the process, they discovered it was more than just forced sterilizations. It was sexual assault, inadequate health care, all targeting women of color. Now, there's much more you can read through this, but at the end of the day, what does this look like to you? If you're forced sterilizing people without their knowledge, that's eugenics. I don't care how you spin it, especially since we're talking about women and minority women. It doesn't matter in the end of the day that this is something that people that are in prison, I mean, people still have rights. Your government is willing to do stuff like this. I don't know how that can be any more clear. This should not be seen as a partisan point shouldn't even really be seen as a racial point. It is about a government and a class war. It is about the government choosing who is worthy of what they get and who is not. And in many cases, we're seeing taking it to such a degree that they are literally willing to lie, deceive, manipulate, use the idea of morals and righteousness and even religion to get people to believe they're doing the right thing while they're killing people. I mean, how do you look at this any other way? At the very least, experimenting on you without your knowledge. But, you know, they'd never do that today, as we're staring at an example of how they do that today. But you guys are smart enough to think about this stuff for yourselves. So as always, please go out there and research it. Ask questions, research further, send me information. That's one of the most important things in this whole thing is the open source research investigation. James Corbett is the inspiration for me for doing that. And I'll tell you, half the stuff that we talk about comes from people like you that reach out and send me information. There's plenty of you out there that know who you are that I depend on. And there's plenty of people that have been sending information. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to make sure I gave you, we've been trying to send out thank you notes to just everybody that reaches out in regard to actual mail. And it's hard. And I know there's a lot of you that may have not gotten something in the past, but I want you to know that every single thing that comes through, I look at myself and every single thing means something to me. It really does. I mean, I just got a really long letter from somebody that just touched me in an incredible way. And I just want people to understand that it means a lot to me. So please continue to support this platform because I'll continue to support you. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, 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 struggles we bear, make you listen back clear, see the struggles we bear, nobody don't care, I'm stuck in my house,
no kind of fear, nobody don't care. What the hell are you doing to this woman?
Oh, you are breaking nobody your own care.
Everything I have seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Wait a minute, don't take her away! Daddy, don't take her away!
Stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
It's the message.